जयमुषपाद ब्रह्मंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। अमृत लीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद ब्रह्मंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री 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 गुरु गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुर्मीलिताम् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापिताम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूपकदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्दियम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुम् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगणरघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदम् सहगणैललिताम् श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धान्त सरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानवि देवी दैदाय कृपाब्धये वृषसंबंध विज्ञानम् दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुग भक्तिदा श्री गौरगरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाभ सिद्धांत द्वंद्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलंबर सांबोधे पदांबुजाय ते नमः भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौर शक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भव भूमिस्तु निर्देष्टा सज्जन प्रिया वैष्णव सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तिरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकम् హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదోపాంగోర్మమందమ దీర్ఘది మత్సర్వస్సు పదాంబోజౌ రాధామదన మోహనం వృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర హాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపీర్గోపీనాథా శ్రీయస్తునా తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుదే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవదీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయదవత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వమనిషదో గావోదోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం విశ్వద్రోణజటాజయద్రతజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా పారాశల్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాహమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం బ్రహ్మావరుణీంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్తన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవే వేదై సాంగమదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదైర్గాయందియం సమగాహ ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో what we were discussing was that this chapter of Bhikshugita in relationship with the Hastamala Gita, isn't it? Practically, what we have to understand is that Hastamala's realizations and Bhikshu's realizations are not different. They are realizing the same thing, but in through different ways. Hastamalinga had in his previous life that propensity, vasanas in him, that he took to Krishna consciousness or self-realization process at a very early stage in life. Bhikshu's case, it happened much later, at a later date. That is the only difference. So, in our spiritual journey also, you will notice this. Somebody moving much faster and somebody moving at a much slower pace, it's only because of the previous vasanas that is holding him back. There is no other reason. There is nobody in the front, nobody in the back. We are all in the same race going on, but due to previous vasana, it pulls us back. Sometimes it pulls us back. And the same person you will see, when the vasanas changes, he will go in the front of others. That can also happen in the spiritual life. Because spirit soul is an eternal thing. It's not a temporary affair. It has to go on its journey. Nobody can stop that. That process will always continue. Anyway, what is important here is, how is Bhikshu realized it? Bhikshu realized it through Vairagyam. Is it not? It was Vairagyam that created that strength, the urge in him to realize the truth. And he found out that Nayam janome sugadukha hedu na devadalma graha karma kalam manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakra parivartaye bhul. This samsara chakram, or this transmigration of the soul, is purely due to the mind. Purely due to the mind. This realization has come to him. And that is the most important thing in his life ever to happen. To realize that the mind is responsible for everything. We will also say, oh mind, mind, mind. But how far do we take it seriously? We don't take it seriously. But when Krishna is saying about the mind throughout the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and again Bhikshu is confirming that the mind is responsible for all our problems in this life and in that life after death. So, it is in that connection we were saying that. And there is a little starting trouble after a break. Takes a time to get to that speed. So, what has happened, we were discussing last time also, that Bhikshu is saying, I wasted my life. But to come to that point, what all he had to go through in life. We have still not come to that conclusion, isn't it? We are still thinking our life is worthwhile living here in this world, doing all kinds of projects and programs. But ultimately, when we spiritually becomes conscious, we'll realize it, that anything done with this material body in this world ultimately is a waste of time. It's not going to happen. So, what he was saying there was, in the 23rd, if you remember, Surgava Vargayor Dwaram. In that 23rd verse he said that. In the Bhikshugita. In the 23rd chapter. 23rd verse. He says, Surgava Vargayor Dwaram Prapya Logam Imam Puman Dravini Konusha Jeda Martyo Anarthasya Dhamini. He says, Surgava Vargayor Dwaram. Once you come to this planet, there's one possibility that you can go to the heavenly planets. That opportunity is there. Otherwise, you can get liberated here. That's also possible. And what has happened to me, he says, that although there was an opportunity for either of these things, to go to the higher planets or to get liberated, in spite of that, I got this birth, I've gone stuck with little petty things in this world. What are the petty things? Making money, he was saying, referring to. I got and stuck with that. And because this is what's happening to us also, in one way or the other, isn't it? We get stuck with the family life, we stuck with the earning the money, and name and fame in this world, all kinds of false attractions. We fall into that, get victimized by that, and that is the Maya's power to trap us in that way. And that realization has come to him so strongly at this point in his life. He is saying this openly, Surgabhavargayor dvaram prapyalokamimam puman dravine konushajeda martyo anarthasya dhamini. Dravine konushajeda martyo anarthasya dhamini. So much, these are all anartham as far as from the Shastram is concerned. Name and fame, acquiring wealth, family happiness, they are all considered to be anartham. Anartham from the point of view of the soul. So there is a story to talk about this, that a person is going through a forest. He's going through a forest. And he has got a lot of jewelry with him, gold jewelry. And somebody else noticed that he is carrying a lot of jewelry, so he joined him with the intention of robbing it from him. And when they reached in the forest, they were passing through a forest. When they got into the forest, the second person who joined him, he robbed him all his jewelry, took away from him everything. And both of them started fighting each other. Naturally, there will be a fight, isn't it? He was trying to defend, the other one was trying to rob. And in that process, they stabbed each other and both of them died. Both of them died. So when this was happening, two monkeys were sitting on the top of a tree and they were watching this. There was a big monkey, father monkey you can say, and a baby monkey sitting there. And this baby monkey is asking the father monkey like this, that why did they fight like this and kill themselves in that way? So the father monkey says to the baby that, look at this, can you see that something shining there, that some metal that is shining there? And they were fighting for that. So the baby monkey merely came down from the tree, came out and picked up that and started biting it, thinking that it is something to eat. So he has bitten that and it was not any taste at all. He threw it away there. And he comes back and says to him that it is useless thing, I can't even eat that. And he says, why did they beat up each other like this? And for this thing, will they fight each other and kill like this? He said to baby monkey. So the father monkey says to him, after all, they are human beings, isn't it? The monkeys talk about us like this. We talk about them and what they talk about us. He says, after all, they are human beings, isn't it? So what else will they do? This is how they see us. This is how they see us. So they don't have, the father monkey says to the baby, they don't have the same knowledge like you have, that it is useless. At least you have understood that it is a useless thing. You can't even eat that. So, similarly, so even the monkeys don't do it, but we do it for that. For the sake of wealth only, the whole fight in this world going on, isn't it? So, we think that we got the brain. But our brain is such that even the monkeys will make fun of us. Even the monkeys will make fun of us. And a useless thing for which, out of our ego or pride, we will fight each other, and in that process we have forgotten for the purpose for which we have come here. We didn't come here to make a lot of gold or a lot of wealth. That was not the purpose, isn't it? So, and we have forgotten that, how to live peacefully in this world, how to live in the shanti state, that we have forgotten. So, that is why he says here, and we are forgetting, finding it very difficult to live in this world peacefully. There is no thing called the shanti anywhere. So many things we are doing here. And if you observe the other living entities in this world, you can see that even that intelligence we don't have. Even that intelligence, all other animals or birds if you look at, even that intelligence, how they live peacefully here, even that kind of intelligence, even we don't have it. We don't have it. So we can see Krishna has given them lot of different capacities for all these things. Like, just like a small little bird, how it makes its cage and the art of making that cage, and we can't do that ourselves. The bird is making that and taking shelter of that cage and living in that cage and living this world. And similarly, you can see this this what is it called? Peshakrat, it says in the Bhagavatam that the little one which comes and in the walls and all, it makes a earthen hole, it builds it and it goes inside and stays there. Sometimes you can see that. And so many things there. And they are not stressed out. They live their life. But we have done so much in this world, and finally we have all the tension, the depression, and all sorts of things. And you can see this. No animals are building a hospital, are they? They're not building any hospital. Psychiatric problems. They don't seem to have any of these problems. Isn't it? So, and you can see there, their peace we don't have. We don't have that peace what they have. We have progressed so much, and we're thinking that we have progress, but if you look statistics in America, you can see there 80% of the people have a potentially psychological problem in their mind. They have a potential problem in them. And so, majority of the people are visiting psychiatrists at some time or the other in their life, one way or the other. And what they are saying that we should have, in India also it's getting very strong this way, this going in that direction. And they are saying that in India, they are saying that in all the schools, they want that there should be a psychiatrist in all the schools. To that extent, things have gone in that direction. What purpose? Just to make sure that the children have the proper mental health. Because they have been stressed out so much because of that. So our old bhikshu is saying here that even though I got this human body, I came to this world, I got attached to all these little things here, and in that process I've forgotten Krishna. So I've forgotten to do sadhana. As a brahmana I was expected to do that. I've forgotten to do the engaging in meditation or dhyanam or japam, chanting the holy name. Everything I have forgotten now. Now nama sankirtanam, chanting the holy name of Krishna, bhakti, everything has gone away. And not only that, I didn't take the opportunity to study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, none of them. I didn't bother to study that. And I'm doing so many other rubbish things. He's lamenting about it at the end of his life. And because all these things has become secondary and it has gone in the background. Instead of being the prime factor, he has made it as a secondary issue. So, what he said was that I have time for that later to do it, but it didn't happen. So, fact is that he says here, I have no time to be peaceful in life. I never had any peace in his life. He is acknowledging that in his own life. So, so sometimes you will see people say that, let me work hard now. This is my time in life to work, earn money. And later on we will see all these things. In the moment, what they are saying is, let me be stressed out at the moment. And later on, when I am feeling a little bit tired of all this, that hangaram inside won't allow that to happen. So, he says here, surgaba vargayor dwaram prapi lokam imam puman dravine konusha jeda martyo anarthasya dhamini. Martyo anarthasya dhamini. He says here, so, Surgaba Vargayor Dharam, that means this place, which one? Dravini Konusha Jeda Martyo Anarthasya Dhamini. This place, that means this house where I am living in this body, it is a place where all anartham can happen. All the anartham can happen. And he says here, everything what I'll do with this body, acquiring wealth and all other businesses, what I am doing here, everything is present in that anartham. Actually, we are not conscious of that. That's why when we suddenly get hit by something in life, some distress comes in life, we can't handle it. We are completely lost at that time. So, because we don't do that, proper lessons we have to learn from Bhagavatam, we are not learning. Even when we went in this visit to Kerala, we were discussing this in one of the conversations there. So he was saying that a lot of people are hearing Bhagavatam, but potentially there is no effect on people. That's what he was saying that. He said that simply hearing the verses and simply hearing the story is not good enough. And that is why more important than Shravanam is the Mananam side. If Mananam does not happen, and if it does not get changed into Nididhyasanam, which is the last stage, Bhagavatam has not impacted on you then. The impact of Bhagavatam is all dependent on the Mananam. Any amount of Shravanam you may do, if it is not reflected many, many times inside, and you have not taken out the extracted from that, that knowledge of the Bhagavatam, knowledge of the Rishis basically, it's the knowledge of the Rishis. If you have not absorbed that, it hasn't done its job yet. That was the conclusion. And you were saying this is the problem. A lot of people are hearing Bhagavatam, but the Mananam is not happening. Mananam is not happening. And that it is through Mananam, like you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look carefully, if you think about all these things, that for the sake of Mananam, they look for places where it is conducive for that. Remember? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see that why did they go to riverbank near the water flowing, isn't it? What is flowing? Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam in the riverbank of Saraswati, Saraswati River, in Badrinath, when he was in his Badrikashram. At that time, Saraswati River was flowing, which later on supposed to have disappeared. And so Saraswati River bank, he chose his place of residence where he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because that river bank, that atmosphere, and the trees, the plants, the birds, everything is very conducive for that Mananam process, where sattvic thoughts will develop within, for that reason. Similarly, all Krishna's pastimes are in the Yamuna river bank. Yamuna is a part and parcel of Krishna's pastimes here. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Bhagavatam in Saraswati river bank. Krishna sported all his activities close to river bank, Yamuna river bank, or close by somewhere. Yamuna river, Vrindavanam, Govardhanam, this is the area he has chosen for the transcendental pastimes. When Parikshit Maharaj wanted to give up his body, he went to the Ganga river bank. So why all of them went to the rivers? Krishna went to the Yamuna river. Maharaj Parikshit went to the Ganga river. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote in the banks of the Saraswati river. So from this you can understand how much importance the Rishis have given to the nature and the natural surroundings, which gave them that inspiration for Sattvagunam. And only in Sattvagunam these thoughts will develop properly, in the proper way. Particularly in the mode of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if you do Mananam, all disaster will happen. You will come to all the false conclusions. You will start doubting everything. Proper realization won't come from Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So Sattvagunam is conducive for Mananam. For Mananam itself, Sattvagunam is necessary, and Sattvagunam is available in places like the riverbanks, forests and places like that. That was the reason why they have done their activity. Bhagavatam, if you carefully look at things, so many things will come out, which you can understand. So in the same way here, he is saying here this realizations, what our Bhikshu is having, once he came out of his jail, which was his family life and the wealth what he had, he got a big freedom inside. He felt himself that he has downloaded everything from his shoulders. When he was having all the wealth, money, society and everything, he was feeling imprisoned inside. But when everything lost, he felt a huge relief inside, and therefore his Mananam worked very well. See how he did the Mananam. His Mananam process is what we are reading. Is that what we are reading? So how his Mananam process worked when everything he was released from all the bondages. So just like here, you see, you know this in Egypt, they call this mummies. Mummy, mummy means in the Egyptian language that the dead body properly prepared. So I know we can't say like that about mummy, but that's the word they have used, isn't it? So in the dictionary, if you look, that's what the word they have used, mummy. That is the word mummy. So what they used to do, they used to prepare the bodies of the dead kings, and they're thinking that they will come back to life later, and in their coffins, they will keep this dead body properly protected and leave a lot of gold as well there for them when they come back, so that they can use it later when they come back. So here you can the monkey also, when you see all that, what they're doing, is there anything wrong in what the monkey has said just before? Do you find anything different in that? Because these animals, they are more intelligent than us in these things, isn't it? Because they have that common sense, what we don't have. We don't have that common sense. So, practically you can see there, when a dog sometimes die on the street, but run over by a bus or something like that, even the dog thinks he is more fortunate than us. Sometimes when you think about ourselves, because he leaves this world and goes away, but we don't have anything to feel pride about, anything here. Our problem is we have left Krishna, forgotten Krishna completely, and we are thinking this world is the only truth. This is our main disease. World is the only truth. And in that process, we are wandering around in this world, and our life is wasted at the end. And that is why this point, this Brahmana has understood properly, and therefore he is saying this verse. Devarshi, next verse, if you look. Devarshi pitrabhudani yadin bandhumscha bhagina asambhibhajya jalpmanam yakshavitta patathyadhaha. Look at that verse. Yakshavitta patathyadhaha. He is saying here, all these verses are a lot of, carries a lot of weight, if you properly reflect on that. You may be wondering, sometimes in the newspaper, or in everywhere it does, America does it, in Europe also, in India also, they started now, who are the richest people in the country? They make a list of that, is it not? Top 500 or 100 people, billionaires, this and that. But if you really look at their life, all the money is yakshavittam for them. Do you know what that means? They can't use that money. It's all distributed in so many industries and factories all over the world. A lot of people are employed and they're working for them in various businesses and investments and this, that and the other. But practically, as far as utility is concerned of that money for a good cause, it is not possible. That is why it's called Yakshavittam. Yakshavittam's nature is like that. Yakshavittam means money is there but you can't use it. That sort of situation. They have huge investments everywhere. They can say, I'm the chairman of this company, managing director of that company, chief executive of this, direct and all the other. But practically, money is of not much use to them. It is there, but it cannot be used. That's the situation. So, their situation is that you can see that a lot of time they get cursed by different people. And what has to be given to the demigods and the rishis, we don't give them. And we think that we can live in this world comfortably on our own, and not giving to anybody, and keeping it together, and finally it goes. Either the person leaves, or the wealth goes away. So, these things are, what Brahmana is saying here, is a song he is singing, is contemplation, is contemplative about that, or reflection about that, which has happened to him when the Vairagyam came to him. All these years he didn't think about it in this way. He was busy making it.
Now suddenly one day he realized it. All I have done in this life was a waste of time. Waste of time. So that's what he is saying there. Vyartham. Look at the word. Vyartham. Vyarthaya artehaya vittam. Pramattasya vayo balam. Kushalayena siddhyandi. Jaratha kimnu sadhaye. Every verse in this is worthwhile reading through again and again. Vyarthayartehaya vittam. Pramattasya vayo balam. Kushalayena siddhyandi. Jaratha kimnu sadhaye. Jaratha kimnu sadhaye. So, he says here, the clever people who for their own welfare in the future, and all the youth is meant for that purpose. Youth is meant for getting the best out of life in this world, is it not? Because only in the youth you can do things in a, with a limited, with a proper way. So, and all those time, that youthful age, I wasted in in acquiring wealth. Because only in the youthful age, this even spiritual life is practical. Really to engage in Shastram, in engaging in Krishna service or doing some useful thing in life, if you consider spiritual life as worthwhile, the best time to execute that is the youthful life. And I have thrown that life period in my life for acquiring wealth, he's saying here. And what can I do at this old age now? He's saying this. Jarada kinnu sathaye. In this jara has come, old age has come. What can I do? Jarada kinnu sathaye. You will see this when you get older yourself, you will notice it. That early years in life, you were able to chant, sit down in one place, chant, and absorb in Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita. But at a certain age, the body won't agree with it. Body won't allow you. You will see that most of your time is busy with the body. And you know very well that the body is going. That is when you start realizing this. When the time was good, at that time all the time was spent on acquiring wealth. And at the old age, when you wanted to engage in spiritual life, the body is not allowing to go along with it. Body is saying, no, this problem, that problem, this checkup, that checkup, this hospital, that hospital, running everywhere so that at least you can survive here. This way, and where is the time for spiritual life? That's what he is saying here. Jarada kinnu sathaye. At this stage, now what am I going to do? He is saying that. Jarada kinnu sathaye. Vyartha arthahaya vittam pramatasya vayo balam. Kushalayena siddhyandi. Jarada kinnu sathaye. He is asking this question to us. So, this you will happen all the time in life, you can see. I saw this in India also, that people who are coming for a Srimad Bhagavatam, old people, after retirement, and similarly, old women. In the church also you go, all the old women are there. Is it not? So, all these years they never had time. They were busy with something or the other. So, if it is tried in the early days, if one tries to engage in spiritual life in the early days, then in the old age, the taste of bhakti will be there. Otherwise it becomes very, very difficult at the old age too, because, and that will definitely bring some beauty in the old age when one practices spiritual life from the very beginning. And this has not happened, whereas instead if you try only at the old age, all these things to happen, all that will happen is you'll get sleep. That's all. You won't be able to relish Srimad Bhagavatam properly. The depth of Bhagavatam is very, very, very deep. And to get that finer understanding of the Bhagavatam's tattvam and philosophy, it becomes very difficult when it is spoken at a later date. That is what he is saying there. Jarada kimnu sadhaye. At this stage in my life now, what can happen? He said, so I am so old and nothing can be done now. At this stage, nothing can be done. That is what he was saying in those verses. Basically, it is his lamentation. It is his lamentation. you will see these words also in the Bhajagovindam. Acharya Swamiji mentions this. Angam galidam phalidam tundam, balidam phalidam mundam, dashanavihinam jadam tundam, vruddhoyadi grihitva dandam, tadavina munjari ashapindam. He says, angam galidam phalidam mundam, dashanavihinam jadam tundam, vruddhoyadi grihitva dandam, tadavina munjari ashapindam. What he is saying is that old age comes and the body has become very weak. All the body is having some problems. All the limbs of the body are becoming weak, and dashanavihinam jadam tundam, and all the senses, they also become very weak. They don't have that sharpness what it had before. And it's become so weak, it is not able to acquire that, it doesn't have that strength anymore to acquire the message, Bhagavatam's message anymore. And vruddhoyadi grihitva dandam. Finally, old age has come to that extent, you need a stick to walk. Isn't it? Vruddhoyadi grihitva dandam. People think that if you have a walking stick, everybody will look at you as a respect because of an old person. But actually the reality is, Urdhoyadi grihitva dandam, that you are dependent on that stick. Tadavina munjari ashapindam. Ashapindam. So, and Acharya Swamiji mentions this very seriously. He is abusing us in this way. So, this old person, our Bhikshu also, is saying exactly the same thing. What Acharya mentioned in the Bhajagovindam prayers, that's exactly what the Bhikshu is saying here. To us also, that kasmal sankrishyade vidwan, he says, kasmal sankrishyade vidwan, vyartha artehayasakrat, kasya chinmayaya noinam, loyam suvimohidaha. He says, kasya sankrishyade vidwan, vyartha artehayasakrat, kasya chinmayaya noinam, loyam suvimohidaha. All over, everywhere in the world, this is exactly what I am saying. He is saying this. So, he says, there is a powerful Maya. He is so powerful that he is able to hold everybody like this in this situation. He is mentioning that. Kasmat samklishyade, he says. But at this age, is this knowledge is coming. When? At the old age. When we are finished. At this end, the old knowledge is coming. So, and then he is saying, why these people are working so hard in life? And sometimes you can see this, even in the sannyasa ashram, this problem comes. Very well learned person, shastram and all, and after studying shastram, they have taken to sannyasa ashram. And after coming to sannyasa ashram, they are saying that one sannyasi says he wanted to go abroad to make some money, he said. Somewhere go and make some money, he said. So another sannyasi is asking him, why do you want to go away to another places to make money? He says, I have to go there and make a lot of money and bring back. Sannyasi is saying this. So, what do you think? So many accounts, they want to make money. Sannyasis are also feeling the need. Sannyasa ashram, you can't talk about it like that. Sannyasa ashram is a very noble position, isn't it? So, he is saying here, I have to acquire all this wealth and I want to build an ashram. All around India you will see this. So many ashrams are built. And then after that, I want to engage in meditation and spiritual activities, he says. So, what has happened is, he has built all the ashram and then he is still going abroad every year, a couple of visits all over the world. But meditation has not started yet. That is kept pending. So, ashramam is there and foreign trips are there, but meditation is not there. There is no time to sit and read Bhagavatam. He doesn't have that. So, if this is the case of sannyasis, what do you think about the grahasthas then? That is the question. If sannyasis are trapped like this, in this glare of material energy, of maya, of money and ashrams and buildings and all that, if sannyasis are trapped in that, what is the possibility for the grihastha then? So that is what he is saying here, that that after studying Shastram and after doing everything, still this Brahmam inside, this illusion inside, that I have to go and make some money and live comfortably in life. That thoughts comes in. So many people, when they are talking about institutions and ashrams and all that, we don't see them anymore. So many going on that they go collect funds and raise funds and build ashrams and want to live their rest of their life comfortably. For that purpose, they have followed that process. So, and often this will happen that the money is gone in a wrong way. It has been abused. The money that's been collected has gone in the wrong direction. So one statement was there. There's one Swami said that I have opened 56 ashrams, he says, all over the country. And now I'm very old, and if I want to stay quiet, I can't do it because I have to maintain all these ashrams. I need money for that, he said. This is how it ends up. Money won't let you freely go away like that. As I said before, that when the water is getting into the boat, you have to keep on throwing it away. Otherwise, the boat will sink. So, so therefore he has to go. So you can see there, look at their own illusion, what they are living in. That is why, just because you have taken sannyasi's dress, doesn't mean that it will go away. That's what he's saying here. Kasmat samklishyade, he's saying. Kasmat samklishyade vidvan. Why is he struggling like this? He's talking about these people who are all time life acquiring wealth in one way or the other, and even after coming to spiritual life, going in that direction. Kasmal sankrishade vidwan, he says. So Brahmana is asking, even those who have studied all the books and shastram, they are affected by it, by the money. So, Shudhi Gada Manasonda Ganasi, Ajari Swami says, that just because you have studied all the Vedam, that doesn't mean that you are out of it, these problems, isn't it? So even they are influenced by Maya. It says Kalushayandi. Kalushayandi means this greed and this desire for wealth, name, all these things even influences them. Kalushayandi. Akhadida Ghatana Padiyasi Maya. Akhadida Ghatana Padiyasi Maya. That's all I can say, he says. Ajaya Swami says, Maya's capacity is beyond our comprehension. We can't even imagine how powerful this Maya is capable of doing things with people. If people who are learned and educated and trained in spiritual life and have taken to sannyasa ashram, even if even they are falling victimized by this of money and name and followers, if, when they are affected by that, what to talk about the poor householder? Ajari Swami says, Akadita Gadana Padiyasi Maya. All I can say is that it's the Maya's, it is in the Maya Panchakam verses. So what does Maya does? Maya, what Maya does is that Maya makes them worse than the four-legged animals. Four-legged animals. So you can see here that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a Vairagya Prakaranam. Vairagya Prakaranam means that if you study Srimad Bhagavatam very well, it has to develop Vairagyam inside. And that Vairagya Prakaranam, you have seen that in Krishnadev's lectures also to his children. Nayam deho deha bhajan raloke kashtan kaman arkhade vidbhujam ye tabo divyam putragaye na sattvam shuddhye asmat brahma saukhyam tvanandam. That is how he has started his discussions, isn't it? So when he invited his 100 children and spoke to them, he told them that Brahma Saukhyam Tanandam, if you don't realize the self here, then you have lost this chance. So overall you can see here that if you analyze this world, you will see what does Maya means. Maya, this Maya is a difficult thing to understand. So Maya, about Maya, Upanishad's way of saying that is, some people, when they observe things, they realize it, that all this doesn't make any sense. Some people, even after seeing all these things, they don't come to their senses. some people, even before they have seen, by observation they have known that this is a place of Maya, and Maya will cheat you any moment. You will get trapped in that Maya's different influences, and you can be trapped and affected by that. And once you are fallen into the trap of Maya, then it is very, very difficult, because you will suffer unnecessarily. Shastram is telling us, self is not experiencing any happiness or distress from the world. He is independent. That is why if you don't read Bhagavatam, you won't know the difference between Atma and Jiva. What is Atma? What is Jiva? Atma has no circumstances, any misery experienced. If you remain as Jiva, you have to suffer all the time, and therefore spiritual life. So, those who are wise enough, intelligent enough, they will know this from the beginning, that they will know what this world is on offer, what it can offer to you, and how much happiness you can get from this world. They are conscious of that. Therefore, they don't get involved to that extent with this world. Other people, even after getting experience and burn their fingers, they don't realize it. And some other people, even before all these things happen, they realize it, that none of this is the truth. So these three kinds of people. Some people come to know that this world is not a truth. There is nothing truth here. It's all false what's going on. Mithya. Falsity of this world, they realize it. From the very beginning, they realize it. Some others, they observe the world and they realize it, that there is no truth in these transactions or vyavaharam of this world. Some others, even after burning their fingers in this world, they don't realize it. Still they think that it can be rectified, corrected, checked or improved. So, and Maya plays this game very well with every one of us, isn't it? And we are stuck in that. That is why he is saying here, kasmad samklishyate, that word. Kasmad samklishyate, he says. Why do people struggle like this in this world? even those who have got the capacity or intelligence to know the Shastram and the capacity to analyze this world, even they get trapped in that. That's what he is pointing out here. He says there that vartaya tehaya sakrat, he says. So some powerful force behind us is influencing us without our knowledge, isn't it? It doesn't take very long. If you live in this world and you get a lot of miserable experiences here, if you are a little bit intelligent, you can see there that there is something not right here, is it not? It's not based on your effort, everything happens here. Or there is an unknown entity and factor here which is influencing all the events in our individual life and in the society as well, where we have no control over it. And that is Maya. Jnaninam abhijetasi Devi Bhagavati Mahamaya prayachade. Devi Mahatmyam says this. Devi Mahatmyam says, her influence is such, Mahamaya prayachade, that Mahamaya influences in that way. Jnanina means, not in the sense that alpajnani, knowledge of the person, is what it refers to is that those who have studied Shastram and those who know about it, even them get trapped by Maya. That is the most interesting thing. You have studied the Shastram and you understand that there is Maya existing. In spite of that, you go and get trapped into that Maya. Often this happens, is it not? If you ask the question, why they have gone and done it, there is no answer to that. Somebody goes and does something and you expect that the person had a good knowledge, he has studied Shastram well, he understands what Maya means. In spite of all that, even after knowing what Maya is, he gets entrapped by the Maya at some point in time. So, so Dushta Doshe Vidisheya. So, that. So, those who even know that there is a defect or fault in this world, in everything what we do and what we relate with, even they know that certain things, if you get involved, it will create distress later. Even they get attracted, attached to it, and go and fall into it. Go and fall into it. So, Maya gives the, creates this problem for everybody, and that is what he is saying. That kim dhaner dhanadeirva kim, kamairva kamadairuta, mrityunagrasya manasya karmabhairvoda janmadehi. Kim dhaner dhanadeirva kim, kamairva kamadairuta aha, mrityunagrasya manasya karmabhairvoda janmadehi. Mrtinagrasyamanasya karma birvoda janmadehi. So he's saying, I'm seeing death right in front of me, going to come any moment. Brahmana is saying here that, so what am I supposed to do now, keeping all the situation I am in today? On the one hand, he lost his whole life, savings, wealth, everything. And family all gone. He's left alone. And he is reflecting it about life, and he is saying this: Kim dhaner, dhaner dhana dairva kim, kamairva kamadairutam, mrtina grasyaman. And on the other side, the death is standing in front of me. I'm going to die now, he is saying. So, karma bir bodha janmadehi. So, so Brahmana is saying here that you have to get into that mood of that Brahmana situation. Suppose whatever we have in life, little things, if Krishna has taken away everything in one lot and put you in a very, very difficult situation and death is waiting there, how would you feel? You have to look at it that way, that person's reality of life, that suddenly everything has gone from life and he is put in a situation, there is no food even to eat. And practically old age has come, which means body is not listening anymore, body is not under his control, it has its own problems. Look at and think about that situation. Suppose we were in that situation, what would we have said? And where did that Brahmana get that strength at that time to think in the right way? That is his good fortune. When distress comes in life, when we get kicked so strongly at some instances, if our intelligence has to work in the right direction, that is Krishna's grace. That doesn't happen to many people. Many, many cases, if you look, you will see this. This has not happened. That is where you have to see where we stand in Krishna consciousness. When the distress comes in life, in the good times when everything is there, our Krishna consciousness is all superficial. It is nothing more than that. It's all very superficial. You can give lectures, seminars, retreats, this, that and the other. That's all completely academic. But when you are thrown at the end and you have to face the music, when you have nothing here in this world, your body is gone, health is gone, you're facing the death, at that moment, what do we think? What thoughts that's coming to us? Do we curse Krishna? Do we curse ourselves at that point? This is what the Brahmana is asking. Brahmana is saying there that now I feel, because inside when all these things are happening, Brahmana is saying, inside me, Krishna is helping. Because he is directing me in the right direction. And Brahmana felt that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this is more important. Why? We read Bhagavatam. We are reading Bhagavatam. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we talk about realizations, we think realization, realization, we say. What does realization mean? Realization means that after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam a lot of Srimad Bhagavatam when you hear, one day Krishna will start talking to us from inside. This will happen all the time. This is the experience of many, many people who have gone through life with Bhagavatam. That Krishna will start talking to us from inside. That time, we don't have to listen from outside anything. There will be a conversation inside happening, like the way it has happened to this Brahmana. It happened to Vedavyas, if you remember. When he started, he heard from Sridharada Maharshi, Bhagavatam. Immediately there was no reaction. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Narada Maharshi left. Narada Maharshi spoke Bhagavatam to Vedavyas. And Narada Maharshi left. After that, whatever Narada Maharshi has spoken, Vedavyas has churned it a lot inside. And then what happened? He mentioned, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihidomale Abhashyal Purusham Purvam Vayamja Tadubhashrayam. You will see in the first canto. That Bhakti Yogena Manasi, that Krishna has started talking to him from inside. We generally think, oh, Vedavyas is Krishna's incarnation, so he knew everything. It's not like that. That's all our... We put it like that in everything, isn't it? We think, we give a sort of identity like that and think that, oh, he should be knowing everything. No, Vedavyas didn't know anything. Vedavyas is also in the similar predicament like everybody else is. He was sitting there in Badrikashram, and there in a very depressed mood, and that is when Narada Maharshi comes and talks Bhagavatam to him. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he has been worrying about life a lot, not about personal maintenance. His intention was to help others by writing the Rishis, different Puranas, he wanted to transmit the knowledge of the Vedam to the common people. That's what he wanted to do. So he broke the Vedam into four, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvavedam. Then seeing that Vedic knowledge is too subtle for ordinary people to understand or to accept it. So therefore, he compiled Mahabharatam to make it a little bit more easier, friendly, user-friendly to the people. He wrote, compiled Mahabharatam. Even after Mahabharatam was compiled, he wasn't satisfied. He realized that the people are still not having any taste for spiritual life. They were not having any taste for spiritual life. Therefore, what did he do? He compiled the Puranams. Different 18 Puranams he has compiled, which were spoken in such a way for the taste of the ordinary people. That's how Puranams were compiled. Puranams are in the lowest category in that sense. It was spoken in such a way that somehow or the other to develop some taste in the human mind for the transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is very difficult to distribute, is it not? We can distribute books, but to distribute knowledge is difficult. Very, very difficult. Not many people will take it easily. First of all, due to their own prarabdham or whatever, that is, not finding any attraction for that. We think that it's all from some other world and some other dimension it is, spiritual dimension, isn't it? Whereas anything related to the body, you talk to people, they'll easily accept it. But anything related to the soul, it's very, very difficult. So Vedavyasa had the same problem. And so he compiled he divided the Vedas into four, then he compiled Mahabharatam, and finally he compiled all the Puranas also, more to the taste of the people, and that's how Puranams came through, with stories and all kinds of attractive features there, discussing war in length. There's a lot of wars discussed. Mahabharata war was a big thing, and in all the Puranams you will see so many wars are discussed in detail, how they fought each other with different equipments and weapons and different astrams and all that. He did all that. And then he discusses about the beauty of the forest, different mountains, different places in the creation, all these things, to make people get attracted to it. But even after writing all the Puranam, he couldn't find any satisfaction. He felt that he has not succeeded in his mission, what he wanted to do. So it was at that time, Narada Maharshi comes and speaks Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him, do not look at Vedavyas as a divine personality from the spiritual world. You shouldn't look at him. Like us, he was born here and he had to go through very hard times in his life. The various reasons. First, because of the birth. Mother was a fisherman, woman, Satyavadi. Father was a sage, Parashramarshi. Parashramarshi, after Satyavadi became pregnant, then child was born, blessed her that the child will become very intelligent and will become very realized. But Parashramarshi left. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, because he has got the body from Satyavadi Devi, naturally that he smelled fish, it seems. To that extent, other people avoided him. They insulted him. Had spoke to him very rudely in many instances, particularly those who were in a positions. They did not accept him. And Vedavyas, that side of life, nobody takes notice of. We think that, oh, Vedavyas has come from Vaikuntham, he has come and wrote all these books and gone back. That's not how it happened. Vedavyas had to go through, burn his life here in the middle of the society. Society rejected him. And find even, what to talk about everybody else, Amba Ambi Ambalika, they did not want to have any relationship with him. Even though it was arranged for them to have a child from him, isn't it? So even there he had problem. While looking at him, he was not very physically very attractive, and therefore they rejected him. So all sides of life he had difficulties, and this Vedavyasa Maharshi, after he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Narada Maharshi left. After giving Bhagavatam to him, told him this is all what you have to do, and he left. And then Vedavyasa Maharshi reflects on what he heard. And it is after that reflection, Krishna started talking from inside to Vedavyas, which came out in the form of Bhagavatam later. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male abhishyal purusham purvam mayam cha tadubashrayam. It is at that time Vedavyasa Maharshi is seeing Maya there. He is seeing the power of Maya. It's not easy to recognize the power of Maya. So the same thing Brahmana is also saying here, that this is the symptom that Krishna is pleased with me. Now, this one important point. When we are in trouble, that too in serious trouble, which will come one day, not today or tomorrow, when it's going to happen, nobody knows. But when it comes, will our thoughts and mind will go in the right direction? If it does, you can say it is Krishna's blessings. Like the Brahmana is saying here, Nunam me Bhagavan tushta sarvadevamayo hari yena nido desha medam nirvedaschalpana plavaha. He says, definitely Krishna is pleased with me. Even though I lost all the wealth, family gone, health is gone, old man, no food to eat, but Krishna is pleased with me, he is saying. If Krishna is not pleased with me, I won't be feeling that happiness inside, what I am feeling now. Nunam me Bhagavan tushta sarvadevamayo hari yena nido desha medam nirvedaschalpana plava. What is the proof that Krishna is pleased with me? He is saying, nirvedaschalpana plava. I got vairagyam now in life. Look at the value of vairagyam. How important it is that we don't have that vairagyam. That is why we still have problems with life. Is it not? Because vairagyam has not come. Therefore, we are still thinking that something can be adjusted here and there. But Bhikshu is so convinced, there is no possibility to adjust anything here. So that is why he says here that Krishna has shown me vairagyam. That's what the word there, nirvedam, he says here. So vairagyam has come and I've got that boat. Nirvedaschalpana plavam. Nirvedam is the boat. Plavam means boat. Nirvedaschalpana plavam. I got that boat. I can hold on to this boat of vairagyam now. And I will escape from here, he is saying here. So, what is that boat? Boat for crossing over the ocean of material existence. Material existence, samsara. So, vairagyam. Vairagyam eva abhayam. So, till this vairagyam comes, we will be fearful in this world. This is the normal situation. Till this vairagyam comes, we will always be fearful. On one side, our spiritual life is going on. Other side, we will be totally fearful about everything. You can see that in all our experiences in this world. It won't go. It will continuously frighten us, because there is no vairagyam, therefore there is fear inside us. And once that attachment, vairagyam means attachment is gone. When the attachment is gone, then that fear also goes. So, once the vairagyam has come, Brahmana is saying here, then you are free. Then you are free. Viraktasya vimuchyate. Viraktasya vimuchyate, he says. Vairagyam eva abhayam. So, you will see, remember, that verses in the Vairagya Shatakam, that boge roga bhayam, different kinds of fear, what we have in us, due to lack of vairagyam. Boge roga bhayam, kule churi bhayam, vitte nubalad bhayam, mane daini bhayam, bale ribu bhayam, rupe jaraya bhayam, shastre vadi bhayam, gune khala bhayam, kale kridandadvayam, sarvam vastu bhayanvidam, bhayanvidam bhuvinranam, vairagyam eva abhayam. So, freedom from fear comes when there is vairagyam. When there is vairagyam, there is freedom from the fear. If you look at that verse in the Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrihari says this. The only state where you are completely free from fear, fearful existence, is when there is vairagyam. Till there is vairagyam, there will always be fearful inside. Boge roga bhayam, kule churi bhayam, vitte nirbaladvayam, mane daini bhayam, bale ribu bhayam, rube jaraya bhayam, shastre vadi bhayam, gune khala bhayam, kale kridandadvayam, sarvam vastu bhayanvidam, bhuvinranam, vairagyam eva abhayam. Vairagyam eva abhayam. This is Bhartrihari's conclusions also. It's exactly the same what the Brahmana is saying here. What the Brahmana is saying here. So, yeah, this is 31. So, in that verse you will see various kinds of fear spoken. You can read the verse yourself, it's there. In the mentions about the bhogi roga bhayam. When you are trying to enjoy something, always the fear that you're going to get sick. Is it not? Suppose a lot of sweet rice given. You want to enjoy all the sweet rice, but then you know the after effect. Especially if you have diabetes and all, then you will be more worried about it. Then, like that, so many things. So, practically, there is no way escaping from it, from this fearful situation, from this fearful situation. So that is what that Bhartrihari is saying there. Anyway, vairagyam removes all the fears from inside. Therefore, he says vairagyam eva abhayam. Vairagyam alone is the shelter. Kule churi bhayam. Suppose you have some position in the society and you need to hold on to that position. Otherwise you are frightened what others will talk about me if I lose my position. Is it not? This is normal in the society. If you have some higher up in the society, they have to hold on to their position. And vitte nirbaladvayam. Suppose you have lost all the money. Say the king has taken over everything, or taxes or whatever it is, you have become a pauper, bankrupt or something, then you don't want to live in the country, you want to move somewhere else. Because you feel that everybody will look down upon you. Then mane dainya bhayam. Suppose you are very much honored and respected. Suppose something happens in life and you become victimized by dishonor or insult by somewhere, then that mane dainya bhayam. That fear. Then, bale ribu bhayam. Suppose you are a very strong and powerful person. Suppose you have another enemy who is stronger than you, financially or physically, whatever it is, you are always fearful of that person. Rube jaraya bhayam. Then, suppose you are in the youth, you look very beautiful, well-dressed, and everybody likes to talk to you. You are very attractive in your physical appearance and in your manners. But later on, when the old age comes, you got sick in various ways, and jara has come, so your form has all gone, all the hair is gone, teeth is gone, and you become ugly looking, nobody wants to look at you or talk to you. Rube jaraya bhayam. You're fearful about, oh, nobody wants to see me or talk to me because I don't look anymore attractive to anybody to talk to. Then shastre vadi bhayam. Even if you are learned, suppose you meet someone else who is more learned than you, you are fearful of him. Then gune khalabhayam, that suppose you have some gunam, some qualities in you, but somebody else has more other higher qualities than you, then also you are in trouble. Then kaye kadandad bhayam, body itself is, whatever that is going to happen to this body, that is also worrying all the time. The strength of the body is going away and it's getting weaker. And also the fear of death also. Sarvam vastu bhayanvidam. In this way, you look at your own life, all levels, if you look at it. Sarvam vastu bhayanvidam. Every single thing is creating fear inside. And the only way to free yourself from that is nanam vairagyam eva abhayam. If vairagyam comes, then that is the shelter. So that is the importance of vairagyam. That abhayam stage, abhayam means fearlessness. Fearlessness comes from vairagyam. Fearlessness comes from vairagyam. This is the point Bhikshu is stressing here. Bhikshu is stressing that point. So that is why he is saying that when nirvedam, vairagyam came to him, he realized that Krishna has blessed me. Noonam me bhagavam stushta sarvadevamayo hari. Krishna is definitely pleased with me, he is saying, because he has given me this vairagyam. So you can see that people always are fearful, isn't it? Some people will always are taking medicines, but always fearful. Am I got this problem in the body? I have to send this for testing to this laboratory or that laboratory. And you go and confirm with GP, everything is okay. And GP will also tell you, oh no, we can run a blood test. And then we'll do a few scans. And then you get a few days, you start thinking, what's the results going to be? And then if you get a letter that everything is clear, you think, feel happy. Up to that time, you stay in the fearful stage, isn't it? Some fear and phobia, you can say phobia. If you ask them, what are you frightened about? I don't know. Frightened about something, but I don't know what it is. So some people, for them, very difficult to stay alone. They find it very difficult to stay alone. And some other people, if they are in the middle of other people, they are fearful. Both, you will see that some people. Some people are fearful to being alone. Some people are fearful if they are in the middle of others. They are fearful. And if they engage in kind of sense enjoyment, they are fearful, will I get sick? And so, kulachit, they will say so. And vairagyam eva abhayam, as he is saying here. That means, if there is no sangam or attachment to anything, then there won't be any fear also. Because of the attachment only, that fear is coming. Because of attachment to the body, you are frightened. That what will happen to the body tomorrow, how the world will look at me if my body becomes... Sometimes people say this body is the biggest embarrassment. This body itself is a biggest embarrassment, isn't it? So, whichever way it is, if you look at it, you will see that this fear is deep-rooted inside all of us. If you remember, Kavi Maharshi said this when he spoke to the Navayogis. He mentions there, isn't it? And here he says, Brahmana is saying, Krishna has blessed me. Krishna has blessed me. What is the sign of that blessing? Is this vairagya. Sign of Krishna's blessing is vairagya. That is why he is saying here, Noonam me bhagavam stushta sarvadeva mayo hari yena nido dasha medam nirvedam atmana plavaha. The nirvedam has come to me. And earlier you will see, Pingala mentions this. Same thing Pingala mentions. If you look in the 8th chapter on the 11th canto, you will see that Pingala's verses. Pingala had to say this how Pingala put it was the same style. Here says Nuname Bhagavan Stushta. Pingala says Nuname Bhagavan Prito. Exactly the same word. Nuname Bhagavan Prito Vishnu Kena Vikarmanaha Nirvedoyam Durashaya Nirvedoyam Durashaya Yenme Jata Sukhavaha. These are the people whom we have to follow. Pingala, Bhikshu. Both of them are telling us, when they realized it, see, is there any difference in the realizations? Nirvedam Vairagyam came to me and I have understood that Krishna is blessed me. Pingala is saying same thing. Nunamme Bhagavan Prito. Instead of Nunamme Bhagavan Stushta, he says Nunamme Bhagavan Prita. Prita means Stushti. So, Bhikshu is saying, Krishna is pleased with me, definitely. And Pingala is saying, Nuname Bhagavan Prido, Vishnu Kenabhi Karmana, Nirvedoyam, same word, Nirvedam. What is using here? Nirveda Chalpana Plava says, Bhikshu. Pingala says, Nirvedoyam Durashaya. Pingala's problem was she had so many desires inside. She was suffering from that. To make more money. And she was waiting for her very rich clients to come to entertain them. And she was hoping that they will all offer huge amounts of money to her. She was waiting there. Fortunately, Krishna's arrangement was such that evening, when she was waiting like that, the Dattatreya Maharshi walks that way. The Dattatreya Maharshi came and sat in front of her house outside. Pingala, somehow or the other, this is Krishna's arrangement. Somehow or the other, Pingala felt to go and ask the Dattatreya Maharshi why she is sitting there. She is waiting for her clients to come. But here, Dattatreya Maharshi is not her client. It's an old person, sannyasi, walking through. She goes to him and asks him why he is sitting there. So he says to her, if I go on to the road, I am exhausted. I want to sit somewhere and rest for the night. And in the morning, when the sun comes, I'll go, he says. So if I go and sit on the road, the vehicles are going, transporting vehicles are going, and I may fall underneath and die myself, so I want to take shelter. At that time, Pingala invites him inside and showed him a place to sit, cleaned up the place for him, and did a little service to him. And our Dattatreya Maharshi thought, why this lady has come to this situation? Born in the place where Sitadevi was born, Mithila, and engage in this kind of activity, how sad it is. He felt a little compassion for her. The result was that Nirvedam came to, because of Dattatreya Maharshi's association with Pingala, because he was a realized soul. Due to his realization, due to association with him, Pingala got the benefit and Nirvedam comes to him, like the way it has happened here. This is Yena Nido Dashamedam Nirvedas Chalpana Plava, says our Bhikshu. Pingala says, Nirvedoyam Durashaya Yenme Jada Sukhavaha. That all that desire, because desires were giving her a lot of trouble. She was staying overnight, waking state. She was sitting, not going to sleep, waiting because she was expecting all the rich clients to come and give her a lot of wealth. But suddenly, all desires left her. She said, what's the point in living like this? A thought came to that. Who created that thought? Antaryami inside. This is how life changes in people's life. So, you can see here that so receiving that Nirvedam or Vairagyam is Krishna's blessing. So, for some people, you also notice this in this world, no matter how much distress comes in life, Vairagyam won't come. Have you noticed that? You can see yourself. You have to look at others' life also. A lot of distress they have gone through in life, Vairagyam will never come. They will not give up. They will still try to extract something out of this world. A little juice. All problems will be there in their life. Family life is in a mess. The financial situation is in a mess. Health-wise, everything is in a mess. In spite of all that, you will see trying to extract a little happiness from this world. And you will start thinking, what an attachment. Like this, such a strong attachment. So that is also there. The reason for that is that Krishna's mercy is not there in their case. That is why it is. That is why it is. Because if the time is not ripe, Krishna has not decided that you are ready for it, Vairagyam won't come. Vairagyam won't come. And because only when Krishna is giving that mercy, Vairagyam will come. If you read the history of Swami Tapovana Swamiji, you can read that book. He, Chinmayananda Swamiji's guru, how he walked out of the house, that he has studied Shastram and he had good association with good learned sannyasis, everything. And then one day, while sitting at home, he thought that he should go, should leave home. And his family, and on the pretext that he is going to some Vrindavanam or Banaras or somewhere, he was going to board the train. So he wanted to escape from the family members once for all and wanted to go away. They all accompanied him to the railway station, wishing him well, happy journey and all that. But he knew very well he was not coming back. After he left, he went to Himalayas straight away. And the rest of the life, he spent his time in the Himalayas. And he writes his remembrances there in the Himalayas, Himagiri Viharam it's called. There you will see that Vairagyam, when it comes to a person, nothing can stop him from going further in spiritual life. And that Vairagyam is the first symptom of Krishna's grace coming. Krishna's grace coming. The complete renunciation, detachment from this world. Not forcefully. Not forcefully. Because a lot of people get miseries in this life, isn't it? But everybody doesn't get Vairagyam. That's the important thing. Only those who have Krishna's mercy or Krishna's grace will have Nirvedam or Vairagyam. So, because Vairagyam is nothing but Krishna's grace it is. That's why Vairagyam is called Krishna's grace. So, and when will that grace come or that wave will come and take you away from here? It's very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. And that is in Krishna's hands. That is in Krishna's hands. So, just like you remember I mentioned about Patanatha Swamiji. Patanatha, he heard so wealthy. He was busy in doing his pearls business in all other countries, far eastern countries. He was making so much money, had no children, and finally this boy, who was Kartikeya, was come as his son, and father wanted to train him to do business so that he can make more money after that. So this is how their mind goes, isn't it? Maya's power. So he sends abroad with other his managers to deal with these pearls, and then they come back, and when he found out that he hasn't made any money, he was very upset with him at that moment. He asked his managers, how is my son getting trained in business, in doing business? So the other people, managers told him he's useless. He said he can't make any money. So Patanathar was very upset that his son was useless. He was not... Every father likes his son to continue with the empire in this world, isn't it? It is the normal norm in this world. All big businessmen, you will notice, they'll build up an empire and then they want their children to take over and continue the same traditions, then they are happy. If any one of them goes off the line, then they will get very upset with them because of that strong attachment inside. So, so when the son came back and found that he was not interested in business, and he left home with a note saying that even the needle what you are using, broken needle, even that you won't be able to take it with you. He opened his eyes, he realized it. That is Kartikeya's mercy, Subramanyam's mercy to him. So what happened to Patanathar at that time? Patanathar decided to throw the whole thing out and walk away from there. So his manager comes up and asks him, that there is so much wealth. What am I supposed to do with all these things? He said, so at least you could set up your will properly and then go. We think everything should happen in the way we want it, isn't it? So he says to him, the manager, he says to him, at least you can do this thing in a proper way, organize everything like we do in these days, isn't it? And then you can go, he says. Manager says, I don't mind you going, but at least organize everything in a proper way so I don't have to answer others where the wealth is gone. Patanathar got so angry, he says to him, take the whole thing and throw it on the street, he said. That was his answer. So whoever has got it, they can take it and go. That was his answer. But when you hear all these things, it's frightening. It's frightening, isn't it? Then we'll say to Krishna, this not happened to me. That's how we will pray. We'll go to Krishna and say, whatever little we have got in this world, a few thousand pounds in the bank, or a semi-detached two-bedroom cottages or whatever, at least don't take that away from me. That's what we will say to Krishna. Krishna says, okay, stay where you are. They are not ready for it yet. So, and Krishna knows that thing, because if this happens, our situation will be very awkward. We will find it very hard to take it. Therefore, Krishna knows that. And don't have to be frightened about that, because Krishna knows we are not ready, so He won't come. And He won't give you any trouble. Just carry on with the life what we are reading. This is Krishna's relationship with the devotees. And there is absolutely no necessity to frighten about that. So there you will see the same thing Gopi saying this. Remember? In the Gopis, in the Gopiya Gita, they will say that they reached that state. The same Vairagyam came to them as well. If you look into the Gopiya Gita, you will see Patisudanaya Bradra Bandava Adivilangedi and Achudagadaha Gadigidasta Vod Gita Mohida Kidavayoshida Kastejayan Nishi. The same thing what happened to Bhikshu, or what happened to Pingala, the same thing they are also saying here. Gopis are also saying here that Patisudanaya Bradra Bhantava Idi Vilangyadin Achyuda Gadaha. 16th verse in 31st chapter. 10, 31, 16. Padisudanya Bradra Bandhava Adi Vilangedendi Andi Achyuda Gadaha. For them, family was more important. Husband, children, brothers and relations. Padisudanya Bradra Bandhava. And in that society, you have to remember, those relationships were very important for them. They were so close among the gopis. So they are saying, Adi Vilangendi Achyuda Gadaha. They throw away that. That was their attachment. Gopis' attachment was not to the wealth. Our attachment is to the wealth, but gopis' attachment was not towards the wealth. Their attachment was this relationship problem. They had such close relationship attachment to all the family members. Husband, children, and brothers, and all other relations. Padisudhanaya Bradha Bandhava. And it is very difficult to break away from that for a woman. Isn't it? Adi Vilangyadevi Achyuda Gadaha. After breaking up all that, they have gone after Krishna. And Gedi Vidastavod Gita Mohita. After hearing Krishna's flute, they walked away from home, breaking up all these relations. They were forbidden from going by the other members of the family. They were stopped from going. Gedi Vidastavod Gita Mohita. But after hearing Krishna's flute, they decided to go to see Krishna. Kitava Yoshida Kastejain Nishi. And in that state, when they could go like that, what was their fate? So, they left everything and they come and says to Krishna that we have given up everything and we have come here. But we will pray to Krishna, let this not happen to me. Let this not happen to me. So, but the point is that if you execute bhakti, even in this state, even if you have not reached that vairagyam, that's also acceptable to Krishna. Only thing is that when the time is right, that vairagyam will come. We are not ready for it. That is why, due to some prarabdham, that will not happen at this point in time. So, but when the time is right, vairagya means knowledge, is it not? Vairagyam is another form of knowledge. It is proper knowledge coming in. That's a symptom of that. If proper knowledge is coming in, there will be vairagyam. And if it comes through knowledge, if vairagyam comes, that's the best. If it happens through knowledge, that is the best. You should not say, oh, Vairagyam has come to him and thrown everything and walk away from there and get into trouble later. Many, many people, it has happened like that. So, for this bhikshu, at his old age, due to Krishna's grace, Vairagyam had come. Krishna's grace, Vairagyam had come. So, if Vairagyam comes in this way, like the way it has happened to bhikshu, by grace alone, this is through grace it has happened. It is grace that has caused this, not due to knowledge. If Vairagyam comes through knowledge, that's good. But it is not coming through knowledge, it's not coming through grace either. But if you throw away everything saying that I have become Vairagyam now, has come to me and go, then you will be in trouble. That is the main thing to learn here. So, here everything has lost, and at that time Vairagyam had come, and when everything is lost, Bhikshu is saying, I am feeling peaceful. There is nothing more to worry about anything. I am feeling peaceful inside. He is saying like that. So, that is that discussion there. And then we will come look at that verse. Nunam me bhagavam stushta sarvadeva mayo hari yena nido dashamedam nirvedas chalpana plavaham. He's saying that why is Krishna pleased with me? Nirvedas chalpana plavaham. For some reason he is pleased with me. That is the bhikshu saying. Because I have not done anything to please him. I have not done anything to please him. But he is brought me to this state and he is revealing this to me, Antaryami inside. Krishna is Antaryami inside. He is giving this inspiration to him that you are going in the right direction. All you want is that in life. Some message from inside, Antaryami telling you that you are in the right path, you are going the right direction, everything will be alright. But because we don't get that signal from the Antaryami, we are still thinking that, oh, my spiritual life is not working very well, I have to go here, I have to go there. All ideas are coming to our head, mainly because our contact with Antaryami has not happened. So that is why Acharya, this day, Acharya Swami mentions this, Acharya Plavayitam Tasya Samyak Jnanam Plavaha. That means Acharya or the spiritual master is the boatman. He is the one who is driving the boat. And the boat is knowledge. Knowledge is the boat. Acharya is the person who is rowing the boat. And here Brahmana is saying that boat, Nirvedam, Vairagyam is the boat. Brahmana is saying it. Nirvedas chatmana plava. So, plava means to jump over something or cross over. That is why monkeys are given this name plavangam. Because they jump over some things, isn't it? All the time. So, and similarly, this word plavangam is also used for what do they call the frogs. They also jump over things because of that. Plavena gachadi. So, this plavam, he says, Nirvedas chalpana plavam. Almanaha plavaha. Soham, if you look at the next words. Soham kalava sheshena shoshayushyengam almana apramato akhila swarte yadisyal siddham almani. Soham kalava sheshena shoshayushyengam almana apramato akhila swarthe yadi syal siddham almani. What shall I do now? He is saying, I am in this state now. Krishna is saying to me from inside, you are in the right direction. And I feel satisfied because Krishna is telling me from inside, I have lost everything and now only thing, what shall I do now? That is working in his mind. What I will do, he says here, Shoshayushyengam Altmana. I will perform such austerities and penances and make this body experience that. Because we feel comfortable in this world. Why? Because of this body, isn't it? So if the body gets some good knocks, good austerity inside, as far as eating, sleeping and other facilities are concerned, And if that is withdrawn, naturally you will become very alert and spiritually. That is why all this fasting and everything in the spiritual life, we make fast also a feast, isn't it? Our Ekadashi is a feast. In the South India they say you don't eat rice, then it's Ekadashi, they say. So that means all the people in the North are constantly on Ekadashi day, as far as they are concerned. So all this is not the answer. So actual thing is that you are meant to follow the Ekadashi, then all the 10 senses and the mind are 11. 5 knowledge senses, senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action and the mind. That's how this 11 comes. So all the 10 senses and the mind, when it's completely absorbed in Krishna, without it's engaged in the services of the body, then it is Ekadashi. Otherwise not. Otherwise it's only an adjustment we make to meet the requirements of the social world. So then he's saying, due to prarabdham, let the body go. Look at his courage inside to make that decision. Living a very comfortable life before, suddenly everything taken out, and vairagyam has come, nirvedam has come, and Krishna has given him that strength inside, and he's saying there, at that time, that let the body go due to prarabdham. That means his attachment to the body has gone. To make that statement, isn't it? And from now on, let me stay in this situation. Apramato akhila swarthe edisyar siddham almani. That means, let me remain in this world without any pramadam. Remember this word, pramadam? Pramadam is a very powerful word in the Shastram. You will see this in so many instructions in the Bhagavadam. Our Kapila Vasudeva says there, Rishabhadeva says this, Krishna says to Uddhava, and everywhere this word pramadam comes. What does pramadam mean? Pramadam means that identifying with the body and feeling pride in that, due to the identification with the body, that I'm strong, I'm beautiful, I'm young, I'm one way or some or the other, when the madam happens inside, when your identification, due to identification, when the ahankaram becomes stronger, that's called that state of pramadam. So he says here, pramado mrityuhu. Sanat Kumara Maharshi says, once you have pramadam inside, that is the cause of your death. It is as good as death. Once you have pramadam inside, all of us have pramadam inside. Nunam pramatyascha kurido vikarma idi indriya prinayam apinodi, says in the Rishabhadev, says that. Pramatam is intoxicated state, being because of the identification with the body. That intoxicated state is called pramatta state or pramadam in that way. So, Mahabharatam, there is a question there that Dhritarashtra asked this question. What does death mean? What does death mean? So, you can see this connection also. Buddha also says the same thing. Pramado machuna padam. Buddha's books, instructions are there in the book called Dharmapatham. You can see that. All of them are from the Upanishads. Most of it is from the Upanishads. And it is in that language what he has written, but translations are available. What is called the Pali language. And Pali also has based on the place where Buddha was living, Magadha. Magadhi Pali, they call it. So, pramadam is the path of death, towards death. So, same word is spoken by Buddha also about pramadam. Pramadam is throughout Bhagavatam. If you look every glorifications, you will see there. So, Brahmanishta means to be fixed in the platform of the soul. There, pramadam should not happen. That is what Bhikshu is saying. Be fixed in the Brahmanishta. There, pramadam should not happen. To know that we are spirit soul, and to be situated in the platform of the soul. To be situated in the platform of the soul. If you come to the body or the mind, then death will take over. You only die if you are in the platform of the body or in the platform of the mind. If you are in the platform of the soul, death will not happen. There is no thing called a death for Atma. That is why he is saying there. That so, body and the mind is the area of death. Death can approach these two places. It cannot approach the soul. So therefore, Brahmana is saying here that there be no pramadam. He says apramatta. Means there is no pramadam. Apramatto agila swate edisyal siddham almani. Because apramattam. Apramattam means without any pramadam I will remain. Why? I have got my soul back. He's saying, I have got my soul back. Till now I didn't have it. I had lost it. Same thing happened to Arjuna, you remember? At the end, he says, Nashto moha smudri labdhva. I got it back. And we all have to get it back one day or the other. That is the only escape from here. There is no point in doing anything else in this world till we get that identity back, who we are. Isn't it? So, he says here that from now on, I don't want this body. I don't want the mind either. And if you have come to that state and you got back your identity of the soul, then afterwards, even if you want to have the body and the mind, you can't have it. This is the difficulty with the self-realization. After realizing the self, once you have realized who you are, and then even if you want to have a body or the mind, you can't have it. You can't get it back. Because when the death comes, it takes away those two things from us. So, and therefore he's saying here, consciously, I am leaving this body to the material nature or prakriti and to prarabdha. Because this body and the mind is a product of material nature. Material nature has created the body and the mind according to my prarabdha. I am handing it over back to them who created it for whatever reason it may be, prakriti or prarabdham, I am handing it over back to it. All this strength, where did that come from? Krishna's grace. Due to Nirvedam, Krishna has created that. So, people who are very good in mananam, vijaram, thoughtful in these things, so they, due to their powerful analysis inside, very thoughtful, reflective, inward-looking nature, those who have got that, due to their power of that discrimination, they can get that state. Ashariratvam it's called. That means freedom from the body. It can happen to them. And those who have got that ashariratvam or freedom from the body, for when they look back later on, they will realize that everyone in this world actually is ashariri. They don't have a body. After they have realized themselves, due to very powerful, this is the problem with many realized souls. They don't look at us anymore through the body. After they have realized they are not the body, and they have got their identity as the self, and then they can't have any relationship with their own body. Not only that, when they look at others also, they think that they also are not the body. And therefore, we are thinking, oh, we have all got the body, he is self-realized, we still have the body. But in their eye, we don't have a body as far as they are concerned. So, that is why Acharya says there, actually there is no such thing called body. What is there is ajnanam. Ajnanam is what is there, avidya. Avidya is what is there, not the body. Body doesn't exist as far as they are concerned. You will see this when we analyze the 28th chapter. Krishna is talking about it so strongly there in the 11th canto when we discuss in the Christmas break. You will see there how strong Krishna is on this point. Body is not there. What exists is avidya actually. Ajnanam, avidya is what is present, not the body. So, because it is due to that ajnanam or avidya, we are thinking this body is ours. First thing, first ignorance is body is ours. And it is in our hands, this body, what to do with it. These are all misunderstanding. And that's why it's called avidya. You will see the 8th or 9th chapter, in that 28th chapter, Krishna saying to Uddhava, this has to happen here before we leave this world. And if you give some attention to this, you will notice that this body is not in your hands. This body is not in our hands. And it is like a something, like, you know, in the road, the car is going, isn't it? Car is that thing. But we made up something out of it and it's moving. Similarly, Prakriti has made this body in that way, and it's moving. And we somehow in illusion thinking it is in our hands, we can do something about it. And around, centered around that, we have developed all this big industry of medical industry, thinking that it is in our hands, it's my body, this, that and the other. And what we have done is, this body, like the car is running on the street, this is going around, like you can see nowadays they are talking about this, what do they call it, that, you know, recently there was a tape, the thing what is going to hit the aeroplane.
Drones,
yeah. Like, where is the difference between the drone and us? So another kind of drone, that's all it is. This body is nothing but a drone. It's going around. Who is controlling? Prakriti is controlling from inside. But we think that it's ours and we have complete control. We have absolutely no connection with this drone. This drone is going its own way. That you know, that when it is changing, when the drone is disappearing, you can. Nobody is asking us. Drone doesn't tell me I'm going, does it? Drone goes when the time is right. So, only thing is, I have identified with this drone and thinking that it is mine, and we are insisting that it should be perfect condition, it should work very well, and it should remain here permanently, and I'm making arrangements for the drone to work. But it does not happen. Why? The drone is not in my control, it's controlled by the Prakriti. So, but in spite of all that, it goes on its own way. Its own way. I know it is difficult because in the world we are living now, everybody will tell you, have you been to the doctor? What did the doctor say? What's the second opinion from the consultant, this, that and the other? You have to accept all that because for vyavaharam, otherwise to make them peaceful, you have to go along with it. But know yourself well inside that this thing called a liver, heart, kidney, all these things is nothing but for us, it's just like Mars, Jupiter, Saturn in the sky. There's not much more different than that. We are thinking that we have such knowledge of the heart, kidney and all that. We don't have anything. We don't know anything about it. It is working somehow, like the planets are in the scientists are telling us there is Mars there is Saturn there. How much do we know about them? Some pictures they have shown us, isn't it? That much knowledge only we have about this kidney, liver, heart and everything, because after the scan they show you something, this is your kidney. Oh yes, fine, it's my kidney. What else do I know about that kidney? What relationship do I have with that? From this you can understand that nothing is in our hands. It's working its own way and it is there somewhere in the body, they are saying, okay, if it's there, it's there, but I have not seen it. I have not seen it. Not only that, I have no knowledge also how it's working. It is not in my awareness, isn't it? When the food is taken inside, it's going in. What's all happening there? Do I have any knowledge? If it tastes my tongue, I say it's good. If it doesn't taste, I say it's useless. But after going in, even if it's any trouble is created inside, I'm not too bothered. As long as it's giving me some satisfaction here. Most of us are like that. I don't know everybody, but I am. So that's all I can say. So this is how we judge things. It doesn't mean anything more than that. You may never see your liver, kidney or heart in this life. You may not see it with your eyes. Once you're dead and gone, it'll go to from one of those places where somebody else will use it or it'll go otherwise with the body. But all those things are influencing me, my life now, in this world, is it not? Because somebody is saying that your liver is in trouble, your heart is in trouble, you have to take these things, that thing, blood pressure, this test, do all that, please the world, but never put any faith or trust in that. That is what Krishna is saying to us here. That just like, you know these astrologers, they are another category in this world. They will say it is the time, Saturn is bad, they say. Saturn is bad. Similarly, like the Saturn's bad times, they say, it is like that, this liver, kidney and all that, those things as well. We don't know anything about it and that's another world itself. It's a completely different world. So this body, what we say, body, it is nothing but Prakriti. It's material nature it is. And we are independent. We have nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with it. And it is this imprisonment, what is happening in the Prakriti, that's our whole problem. That we have nothing to do with it, but we are imprisoned there. We are in that cage of the Prakriti. That is what our Bhikshu has realized it. Bhikshu is saying, why do I have to suffer because of this? Let the body go to its own way. Let the mind go its own way. So, the more you associate with the Prakriti, the more you become make contact with the Prakriti, the result is distress. The result is distress. And there is no solution to that problem. There is no solution to that problem. This factor, we have to do a lot of mananam and get ourselves fixed in that. That there is no solution to this problem, that you can play with the Prakriti and make it perfect. Because the more the association with the Prakriti, that means distress, and there is no solution, not at all. There is no solution for the distress. That is why Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita, Tasmad abariharyarthe natvam shochitum arhasi. Remember that? In the second chapter, Jadasya hidruvo mrityo dhruvam janma mrdasya cha tasmad abariharyarthe matvam shochitum arhasi. Abariharyarthe means that for which there is no solution. A problem for which there is no solution. And this problem with the body is concerned, there is no solution. And you can see this. You go to the hospital, doctors, all trained and highly qualified people, they are also not confident about everything, are they? They can't tell you that they can cure every illness. And sometimes they can, just like, they can do certain things temporarily to relieve you from the problem. Problem has not gone away. Problem is a little more deeper than that. Because this body is in the hands of Prakriti, not in the hands of doctors or in the hands of medicine. But ignorant people who have no knowledge of the body and the soul properly, the way Krishna has spoken, they will give all the importance to the body and build up all these big, big hospitals and all facilities, thinking that that's going to solve the problem. All over the world, that's what's going on. But when you become sensible, when you start seeing things properly, to the way Krishna has spoken about it, you can understand that what is being given to you in the form of medicine, doctors and all other treatment is nothing but avidya. It's not going to solve any problem. If you are meant to suffer, you will suffer. No hospital is going to save you, no doctor can save you. And if you are able to survive in this world, that's Krishna's grace, that Krishna has not given, touch Prakriti asana, Prakriti has shown some concession to you. That's all it is. And when it has to go, it will go its own way. There will be no shortcut or no escape from that. So here, Krishna is saying here, Tasmad abariharyarthe natvam shochitum arhasi. Krishna's point is, do you want independence, freedom? In that case, hold on to that awareness inside. What is exactly you are? The awareness inside. That is all what you are. Pure consciousness. And that is your identity. That's your identity. And instead, knowing that is your identity and not think that the body is your identity, the more you can stay in that way in this world, you should try to do that. You should try to do that. All spiritually advanced people do that. That they know that nothing to do with this body. Body is Prakriti. I can't do anything about it. Whatever has to happen will happen. And not to get attached to it to that extent and remain knowing, well, my identity is soul, Atma, and remain in that state as much as possible. It may not be possible all the time, but if you keep on repeatedly telling yourself that I have to remain in that state by analysis, not in a ignorant way, but with proper analogy like Krishna has spoken about that, and accept that Krishna's words as the truth and live in that as much as possible, then Krishna is saying that there is some possibility of escaping from this. Suppose many times it's not possible. It is not possible. And when it is not possible, that is where you have to say that it is prarabdham. That's where it is prarabdham. So there Krishna says that the prarabdha means that the fact that we have got this body instead, first instance. Why did this body come to us first? That's where all the problems started, is it not? Because you got the body, you have to go to work. Because you got the body, you are getting sick. Because you got the body, old age. Because you got the body, diseases. And eventually death. So, when it is like this, know, better to know our actual relationship with this body. In what level that is, isn't it? So, that is what, if you come to that understanding, like Krishna is saying here, he is saying, as far as body and the mind is concerned, Tam Tidichasva Bharata. Remember that verse? Yeah. Matras Prashastu Kaundeya Shitoshna Sugadukhada Agamabhayinu Anityam Tam Tidichasva Bharata. So, when Krishna is saying that verse, it's not only heat and cold that you have to tolerate. Sometimes you think like that, oh, Krishna is only saying, don't use AC or don't put the fan on. That's all it's for spiritual life. No. Matras prashastu kaunte. Wherever matra, tanmatras are coming in contact with the sense objects. Prashastu kaunte. Shidam ushnam. Happy, heat and cold. Sugham dukham. Sugham dukham is all based on the body, is it not? If the body is happy, you are happy. The body is not happy, you are not happy. That situation should not happen. Happiness from the body should not be the criteria. Shidoshna Sukhadukhada. And we, all the time, is in the grip of this. If body is comfortable, we say, ah, life is not too bad. We say like that, isn't it? All other miseries we can tolerate. But when it comes to the body, we find it difficult. Why? Because we are identified with the body. So, Shidoshna Agam Abhayino Anityam. Krishna is saying, this body is nothing but something that will come and go, come and go. This body will go today, another body will come tomorrow. Agam Abhayino Anityam. And the nature of it is, when it's there, it's not permanent, it's temporary. So, three things. Once it is temporary, second thing, it will come anytime, third thing, it can go anytime. When all these things are reality, Krishna says, Tam Tidikshasu Bharata. Always remain in that state, aloof from the body. That is the escape from that. Saying that, said, tolerate it, Krishna is saying here. And if it becomes excessive, I know it's easy to lecture this, but when it happens, and then you will know how difficult that is. But even the only the two states where you don't experience that is a sushupti state, where you don't, body is not there, and also in the samadhi state, turiya state, fourth state. In these two states, body is not there, body is not there. And only in the vacant state, you have to tolerate that. Only in the vacant state, you have to tolerate that, is it not? That's why in the hospital, they send you to sushupti straight away. As much paracetamol, or as much gabapentin, or all nigablin, or whatever. Painkillers, so many of them. And finally, their last thing, the morphine, they give it to you. Why? Sushupti. Doctors also know sushupti is better than the jagrat. So they send you there. But, so Krishna's point is, even in the vacant state, while in the vacant state, bring this understanding inside and try to practice it as much as possible, little by little, to stay in that state of deep sleep. In that, but not by deep sleep, but consciously. To do it consciously. Because that is that state one has to practice. One has to practice that, that no connection with the body. Asparsha Yoga says in the Upanishad. Asparsha Yoga means no touch connection with the body. Body is having a lot of trouble. But through knowledge, breaking through that. Knowledge and realization. In other words, continuously contemplating on that, I have no connection with this body. Body is experiencing all the problem. Body is having all the pain. Body has got everything, not me. In that way, if you constantly fix your thoughts in that way, Krishna is saying that, that will bring you slowly to that understanding. And that is what he is expecting us to do. So, in a constantly without attachment to anything, not to forget this, and at all circumstances throughout life always to remember this. This one instruction Krishna has given, that not to identify with the body and to remain like that as much as possible. Unfortunately, we don't take that very seriously, is it not? You can see how our problem is, that because we don't have enough satsangam and we don't analyze it enough within us, what happens is we leave this, class is over, now back to the body again. And then absorb in the body for the rest of the week or rest of the month. And then when little problem comes to the body, gets completely panicking, everything. If you are not getting any problems to the body, it's not giving you any trouble, that is Krishna's grace. But if Krishna, that means Prakriti is not totally unhappy with you. But if some problems are coming, that is where the strength of spiritual life is, that you are able to live through that. His body is giving trouble, what can be done? What can be done? Nothing can be done. You can try all these things for the satisfaction of the world, for the friends or the family or whatever. They may ask you, "Oh, did you see the doctor?" they will say. Or did you see this? What doctor can do? What can he do? And I mean, it is a difficult situation. This is why Maya is showing her might to us, that we are not stronger than the Maya. So this Vidya, not to forget it. This Vidya, not to forget it. Who am I? What is my identity? And and if you forget this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken here, it's the most dangerous thing. It's the most dangerous thing. And first thing is, before death happens, what happens to us is we forget about our identity. That is when mrityu comes. Death comes at that point, when we forget ourselves. Alpa vismaranam, it's called. So before death, when does death happen? Death happens to the body and the mind. So if you have lost this identification with the self, Alma, Alma Visparanam, if you have lost that identity with the Alma, that is when death captures. That you will see in many instances, Maharshi, he felt that death has come one day. He felt like that. Immediately asked the question, who is having the death? Who is experiencing the death for the body? And the body, after death, what will they do? They'll take it to the cemetery and they'll burn the body there, isn't it? But when the body gets burned, do I still exist after that? Or is everything over with the death? He asked this question. So when he gone deep into that thought, deeply, he went inside, he started realizing that even if the death happens, one way or the other, whatever happens to this body, when it gets burned also, this awareness of my existence doesn't go away. Why? Because he thought that in the deep sleep state, I have no connection with the body, but awareness is still there. So if it is like that, where is the proof that when the body is burned, my awareness will go? Awareness can never go. He came to this conclusion very strongly. By analyzing Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, that is the benefit he has derived. So he also understood that this aham aham, awareness inside, that is self-illuminating and that is me, and for that vastu has no birth, no death. Awareness, in other words, the Atma has no birth or death. And bodham, it is called bodham. Bodham asmi, soham asmi. So, but he understood that at that point he got a separation from the body in his own life. And because of that, in later on in his life, there was a lot of problems to his body. He had a lot of problems in his body. Pain, rheumatism, cancer, all sorts of things came up to him. But when all these things happened, there was no pramadam in him. Why? Because he has broken away from the body, from the early days itself. So there he mentions that you should never forget that, he said. that you have no connection with this body. And this is one point which is everybody's responsibility in spiritual life, to talk to himself, one's own. This is sadhana. This is the real sadhana. All other sadhana is based on the ahankaram, is it not? But this one sadhana, to tell ourselves all the time that nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with this body, I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my enjoyment. These three things. We analyzed it many times before. I'm not this body is very easy to explain that, isn't it? Because you can see that body is changing, I am not changing. Body is changing. And body is something that, as I say, this is my hand, my head, my leg, my arm, then who is me? To prove that, this identification with the body is a false thing. So, by proper analogy and proper explanations, you have to come to this repeatedly, saying that I am not this body. Everybody can accept that, it's not difficult. Then, secondly, body is not mine. That is the important bit of that. Why do we analyze it like this? To make very clear in our own head that what we are talking to us, convincing ourselves, is the truth. Why body is not mine? Because everything that happens to the body is without my permission. That is the proof that body is not mine. It's getting old. Is it asking me? Did I give permission for the body to get old? No, it happened. Body feeling hungry. It doesn't ask me, oh, can we have hungry after about 6 hours or so? No. At the right time, body is asking for food. I have to give food to the body. Otherwise, body will protest. Is it not? Similarly, when the body wants to rest, it will demand rest from me. If I don't stop all the activities, body will go crazy. I'll go crazy. So, every stage if you look, you can see body is demanding from me something and I have to oblige that. I have to listen to it. Body does not listen to me, I listen to the body. It's the other way. Is it not? So, analyzing like this, you have to come to this firm conclusion, body is not mine. It is somebody else's. We call it as Prakriti, out of Prarabdham has created that and thrown it on us. It's not our identity. So, I'm not his body, body is not mine. Thirdly, finally, body is not meant for my enjoyment. The reason is that any enjoyment that is coming through the body, is Atma has nothing to do with it. It's only the mind that is taking the pleasure from that. So, because all the pleasure is in relationship with the mind and the senses, it is not my pleasure, and therefore, all the happiness that I experience is completely false in the sense that it is not coming from the soul. It is not Sachidanandam. It is the happiness of the senses and the body. Senses and the mind. So, various ways this analysis is there in the Shastram, and our responsibility is to take all this understanding from the Shastram and slowly disconnect with the body and remain in that state as much as possible all the time. This is our responsibility. That is what Krishna is expecting us to do. If we do that, Krishna is saying, you will escape a big distress later in life when the body goes. Preparing for death means this, that constantly reminding ourselves of this truth, so that tomorrow when it comes, the crunch comes, you don't get carried away by the problem. So this in his Maharshi's case, he never forgot this throughout his life. He stayed there. So he mentions there, because this truth you are forgetting, the punishment for that is distress. This truth about your identity you are forgetting, the punishment for that is distress. Punishment is that? Distress. So therefore, never to forget this truth, what Krishna has spoken. In the Shastram, the word they use is Surupa Vismriti. That's the word. Surupa Vismriti means forgetfulness of your own identity, who you are. Isn't it? So, Surupa Bhramsham, they call it. If you forget it, again you should come back to it and remember it. If you forget it, again remember it. And that is what Arjuna did at the end. You remember? After Krishna has spoken, what did he say in the Bhagavad Gita? Nashto moha mridirladhva. Then? In the 18th chapter you will see there. Nashto moha smridirladhva. Nashto moha smridirladhva. Tul prasada echuda. Tulprasadal maya achyuda. 73. Stidosmi gada sandeha karishe vajanam tava. Once you have come to that state of Atma, nashto moham. Moham is another aspect of pramadam. Nashto moham. Moham has gone. I got back my own identity. Smridir ledhva. I got, smriti means my memory, who I am, I got it back. Smriti labdhuva, labdhuva, tval prasadal maya achyuda. Again, Krishna's grace. Achyuda says to Krishna, tval prasadal, by your grace I got it back. Then, sthitosmi, I am fully established in the truth. Sthitosmi, I am situated in the truth. Gada sandeham means all doubts have gone away. Gada sandeham. Karishe vajanam tava. I will act according to your instructions. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. So, it is happening to Bhikshu. It's happening to Hastavalaka. It's happening to Arjuna. It's happening to Jarabharata. It's happening to all these great, great personalities in the Bhagavatam. And those who have reached that state, they are called Mahabhagavatam. You know the difference between Bhagavatam and Mahabhagavatam? We are all Bhagavatas. All of us are Bhagavatas. Why? We are hearing Bhagavatam every day. But there is one problem with us. We are not Mahabhagavatas. The reason is, suppose if we don't get our prasadam, we won't hear Bhagavatam. Whereas, if you look in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami addresses certain people as Mahabhagavata. Who are they? Vidura is Mahabhagavata. Jadabharata is Mahabhagavata. Uddhava is Mahabhagavata. Ambarish is Mahabhagavata. Parikshit is Mahabhagavata. They are all Mahabhagavatas. The difference is this between Bhagavatam and Mahabhagavatam. We are listening to Bhagavatam. Therefore, we are Bhagavatas. We are following, trying to follow Bhagavatam. To that extent, we are Bhagavatas. But we are not Mahabhagavatas. Mahabhagavatas are those without any connection with the body, they can live and listen to Bhagavatam. They will listen to Bhagavatam. Vidura, Ambarish, Jadabharata, Parikshit, Uddhava, they are all in that category. Bodily needs does not disturb them. They come out of the body by the way Krishna has spoken here. No connection with the body anymore. They come to that state. Therefore, they are Mahabhagavatam. In so many places you will see, when Sukabrahmarshi refers to them, they call them as Bharadastu Mahabhagavata, Uddhava Mahabhagavata, Parikshit calling him as Mahabhagavata. Why? You saw Parikshit how he was? 7 days, no food, no drink. Willing to listen. Pibandam tunmukham bojachudam harikathamrudam. Able to sit down and listen to Bhagavatam. But we are not in that category at the moment. We have 2 hours for Bhagavatam. After that a big feast. And therefore we stay as Bhagavatam. We are not Mahabhagavatam. We are not Mahabhagavatam. That's the difference between Bhagavatam and Mahabhagavatam. It's something important to know. Because otherwise you'll think that Parikshit heard Bhagavatam, I heard Bhagavatam. Where's the difference? The difference is this. That they have come out of the body. Bodily needs does not worry them anymore. Bodily does not worry them anymore. So Arjuna says, Smridir Labdhva, isn't it? Smridir Labdhva. So, all satsangam is for this to keep reminding again, 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 all the time. Otherwise, you won't remember, you will forget it easily. Is it not? So, satsangam is like a jumping board. It's like a jumping board. And to go back to ourselves, who we are, to remind us all the time and to go back to that. Because you can see, even though we discuss all these things, as soon as a little inconvenience comes to the body, we completely forget this. Even though it's been spoken million times, it has not happened. It does not happen. So, so I'm saying I'm not this body or the mind or the intelligence. And then who am I? That question has to come back every moment. And that is why that is pure consciousness. Again, Krishna is stressing that. And that consciousness does not have birth or death. And consciousness does not have happiness or distress. Nothing happens there. And I am completely perfect. Purnamadam purnamidam. Purna purnam udachyate. Purnasya purnam. Why so many purnam? To stress this point. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam evava shishyate. Everybody knows the words, isn't it? It's very nice words. Easy to learn. But the depth of that knowledge of the nature of the soul, what is spoken there. Purnasya purnam. Always purnam it is. It cannot be, nothing can be taken out from that. That's the nature of the soul. So, and the nature is shanti, anandam that is there. And that awareness or purnada, it has no connection with the body. It does not have any connection with the body. And it is a purnavastu. Body is not purnavastu. Mind is not purnavastu. Awareness is purnam. That vastu inside is purnam, and that is pure like the sky. Like the sky, it's pure. It has no contact or touch with anything. Sarvobadi vinirmuktam says. Tatparatvena nirmalam. It is free from all upadis and it is pure. And as and when we forget it, we have to go and remind yourself again and go back to that state. And when you forget it, go back to it. And the only remedy when you are forgetting it is to remember it again. And the remedy for that, external remedy what you are taking for that is satsangam. Is satsangam. So why we are discussing all this is that another few weeks, hopefully, we will finish this discussion. We won't be discussing this all the time. And in the next last chapter, Krishna is also going to finally tell Uddhava that the 28th chapter, that's the last chapter where Krishna will talk the tattvam to him. And then Krishna says to Uddhava, you go to Badrinath and reflect on it, whatever you have heard, and stay in that state, rest of the life. To Arjuna, Krishna didn't say like that. But to Uddhava, he said like that. So, people whose life is coming to an end, like Uddhava, for them instructions to Uddhava matters. People who are still coming into the life, in the early life, instructions to Arjuna matters. That's where the difference is. So, in the Shastram, instruction is based on the person who is receiving it. It's not that one instruction for Arjuna and same instructions for Uddhava. Not like that. Uddhava's state is, life is concerned, it's almost over. 115 years in this world he had been here. And he has gone through his life. There is nothing more to worry about the life as such. Now the truth must be spoken and it should be taken in seriously. Therefore to Uddhava Krishna says, take this on board and remain in that state. To Arjuna Krishna says, do the duty what you have to do. Because Arjuna is not free from the vasanas yet. Uddhava's case, vasanas have gone away. Arjuna's case, the Kshatriya vasana is still there. Therefore, Krishna could see that and therefore he has to accept that instructions from him. So, satsangam is the external remedy for that. And any time when you come to satsangam at least, you have to remember that I'm not this body. I'm not this body. So, then who am I? And what is the nature of my identity? That center where this experience happening, that I am not this body, there one should take one's attention all the time. not connected with the body to remain in that state. That's important at that time. And this is the sadhana for the jnanis. Jnanis perform this sadhana. So all this deity worship and yagam, all these things is only externally we do in the temple, deity worship and different kinds of fire sacrifices, all kinds of this. But there is a similar sacrifice we have to do inside, and that is this. Every time when we forget our identity, going back to it again and convincing ourselves that I have nothing to do with this body, this is the sacrifice we have to perform internally. Externally, you can do whatever other yagam sacrifice, whatever you have to do, fire sacrifices or deity worship or other things. But internally, this sacrifice has to go. Again and again, going back to our own identity and remaining there, because that is called apramadam. See that word he has used? Soham kalavasheshena shoshayishyengamalmana apramato akhilaswarthe edisyal siddhamalmani. This is that word apramata means. Apramata means to go back to your own identity and to remain like that, not connected with the body. That's called apramatam. So apramadam. And that is no death because that alma was never born. Death is for something which is born, isn't it? Only if you are born, you have to die. But this alma inside is never born. So where is the question of death? So all this knowledge in the Bhagavad-gita and in the Bhagavad-gita also is only to get us to the truth. Get us to the truth. That's what he is saying here. That vastu is Swayam Prakasham. It's on its own. It can exist without all these things. Aghiralpaka ma sushupte. That means without the help of the mind or the intelligence, it can remain in this world and it is there in everyone, in Jagrat, in awakened state, in the dream state, as well as in the deep sleep. So, I am experiencing, say for example, dreams. And I am experiencing dreams in the vacant state also. Who am I? Who is dreaming in the vacant state? And the person who is dreaming, that very same person, I can remain without that mind and the senses in the deep sleep. The person who is in the vacant state, experiences the body, the mind, the world, he can go into the dream state and he can dream through the mind and then he can leave the whole world, the senses and even the mind and go into the deep sleep and still remain alone. Is it not? That's what these are fundamentals of spiritual life. Any path if you go, whether karmam, yaganam, yogam, bhakti or whatever it may be, this analysis of the Vedic conclusions, what the rishis have given us, that's eternal. That won't change. So, in Jagrat, in Swapnam, or in Sushupti, whatever it may be, I can remain in Sushupti without all these things is the proof that if I can bring that same existence in the Sushupti in the vacant state, I have escaped free from this. So, Ega Almana Mahamahamedi Pratibhadi Nityam. So, in all states, I am only a witness. Everywhere I am a witness only. Tad Brahma Tattvamasi Kevala Bhodamatram. And that is our identity. And Kevala Bhodamatram. Kevala Bhodamatram means purely it is awareness. Chinmatram, another word used. Avabhodam, Chaitanyam, consciousness. These are all different words used. And that is present in all of us all the time in the form of awareness. Aham Aham. And after knowing that is my identity, not to make contact or associate with anything else except that, and that is what is called as Vasudeva or Narayana. That Vastu is called Vasudeva or Narayana, and that is the Swarupam. Brahmana is saying here, that is the Swarupam of Krishna. There you see, Swarupam of Krishna, Jnana Swarupam, and I will remain in that Vasudeva Tattva. That I will remain in that Vasudeva Tattvam and remain in that state. Remain in that state and without any pramadam. So knowing oneself who it is and without any pramadam remaining in that state. That's what the Brahmana has done. And he says there, Vasudeva Tattvam, that in a very short period of time, Gatwanga did that. Gatwanga. You remember Gatwanga's story? Yeah. Gatwanga, he says here, the same way it happened to Gatwanga. Gatwanga went to the heavenly planets to fight with the demigods. Then he came back here. They told him that you have only a very short period of time to live. Immediately, he took up this principle and he acquired this knowledge of the self and remained in that state, and he gave up his body. He gave up his body. That's in the Bhagavatam, that story you can read. So he asked the demigods, how much time do I have? They said, you have got one muhurtam. One muhurtam means almost 2.5 ghadiyam, they call it, nadiya they say, almost little more than an hour time he has. And he stayed in that state and left his body. Tatra mananimodiran deva tribhuvaneshwara muhurtena brahmalokam ghatvangam samasathayal. Our Bhikshu is saying, Gatwanga has done that, why can't I do it? The same thing. So, in order that to say, you can imagine what an amount of vairagya must be inside to say this to this world, and how he left that place. So, we'll discuss after a few minutes.
Chetodarpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purna mrida swadanam Sarvatna Suvanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Namagari Bahuda Vijasarva Shakti Tatrarpidani Vidasvarane Nakalam Eta Drishita Vakrupa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamihajani Nanuragaham Trinara Bishuni Jainam Tarora Bisahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Madhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahai dugitvayim ai nandadanu jagingaram namam shami bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangajastida duli sadarsham vijindayam nam shudharayam nam dudarubdhaya gira Polagar nijidam kadavabo tavam mama grahane bhavishyatim. Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam. Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name. Ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotua. Yadadadava vidadadulambara malprananathastuna evana param.
See what Bhikshu has to say about Gatwanga. He's saying, Tatrama Manumoderan Deva Tribhuvaneshwaram Muhurtena Brahmalokam Gatwangam Samasadhayan. Bhikshu is saying here, the demigods will be pleased with me. Tatrama Manumoderan Deva Tribhuvaneshwaram. They'll be pleased with me because if I remain in this Vairagyam state, in this detached state, renounced mood, if I remain like that, they will congratulate me for that. They will appreciate my state. And he decided like that. This is the Bhikshu's words he is saying there. And in the then Krishna is referring to that. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Look at the 31st verse. 31st.
Ityabhi pretya manasa avandyo dvijasattamaha unmuchya hridaya grandhi shanto bhikshu abhun muni.
Krishna is saying, ityabhipretya manasa. This is all what has happened inside the Bhikshu's mind. He says, all this time that Brahmana was dvijasattama, that he was at this point in time Up to this time, he was asatama. Asatama means he had no consciousness of the sat. Now, because the vairagyam came to him, he touched the sat. He touched his atma. He started realizing atma is sat, body is asat. That realization came to him. So, what he says here? Avandyo dijasatama. Avandyo dijasatama. Krishna is saying here that the brahmana who was born in Avanti, unmuchya hridaya granthi. Unmuchya hridaya granthi. In other words, due to the power of the knowledge, jnana nishtha, he has broke open that hridaya granthi, the gland inside. Remember that hridaya granthi we talked about all the time, isn't it? Vidyade hridaya granthi, chidyande sarvasamshaya, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishtaye valpani ishvare, Bhagavad beginning. So that hridaya granthi, the knot, the granthi is that knot, attachment, that knot is broken. That's what he's saying here. Unmuchya hridaya granthi, Krishna is saying that. Unmuchya hridaya granthi, he broke open that. And shando bhikshu abhun muni. He reached that state, then he came to the state of shandi for a moment. And and so, shando bhikshu abhun muni, he says, as soon as he has become shandi, it is for this that we are all, to get that shandi, that we are doing all these things in life. Think about that. All our struggle in this life to get that shandi. To get that shandi. Because it is to get the shandi, we are all thinking how to get shandi, isn't it? We are all looking for it. That's what we want. But we don't know how to get it. So he became, give up all attachment and freed himself from that and became to the shandi state. And experienced that shando bhikshu abhun muni. He reached that state of muni. Muni means who experiences that shandi inside. He has come to that state. And practically what he is saying is he threw away everything and became peaceful, in other words. So threw away all distress as well. Hridaya grandhi unmuchya, he says. Hridaya grandhi unmuchya. So what he means is that he has broken that grandhi, the gland or that knot he has broken. And that is what he is saying. Sachachara mahimedam samyadalpendriya nila bhikshartham nagara graman asango alakshido avishad. Now what he does, which after all this he is saying, sachacharam ahimedam samyadam atmendriya anila bhikshartham nagara graman asango alakshido avishad. Then, because there is no attachment anywhere now to anything, not even to his own body, you can imagine that. No attachment to the house, family, that's all gone. But including attachment to his own body has gone. Therefore, he is saying here, vairagyam has come to him, so therefore he was able to take his begging bowl without any problem and continue walking, where will I get some food to give for this body. And this is what Lord Shiva does, isn't it? He walks away with the skull in his hand. You can see that. And sachachara mahimedam sammeda almendiyanila. So practically, because there was no food, and therefore the mind has come under control, because mind causes, is given birth by the food. Food is what gives strength to the mind. So when the mind is controlled, pranam came under control. The life air also under control. So only if the stomach is a little bit empty, then only the pranam will function properly in the body. If you give a lot of food to the body, then pranam won't move properly in the body. Pranam will get blocked there. Therefore, that is the reason this bhikshartham, bhiksha is for this purpose. Because if you are begging for the food, there is no chance of getting a feast, isn't it? You will only get what you get. Sometimes it could be some rice, a little rice and some dal or something like that. So if you are used to that kind of eating, then the mind will never become strong. And if the mind doesn't become strong, then the pranan will move in the body better. These are all the rishis' conclusions. That is why normally they expect us to have that bhiksha properly done. So that's the reason that the food that's collected through bhiksha is superior to the food that you have cooked yourself at home. So, and if you experience hunger all the time in the body, a little bit hunger all the time, and then prana inside the body will have a proper movement. And only in that case you can perform pranayama properly. Otherwise, if you do pranayama, it will be like a lorry in the traffic jam. If you have a lot of food inside, you may be vegetarian, that's okay. But that's not good enough here. But a big feast every day, this appearance day, that appearance day, or disappearance day, and all other festivals, the way we are eating now, with all the hundreds of preparations, 56 onwards, isn't it? And big feasts and all that. How can it control the mind? How can it control the prana? That's not possible. The reason why they say this is that if there is a little bit of hunger necessary, and if it is like that, there's a possibility that the mind will not be too active. The mind is not active, then the prana will move freely inside the body. Otherwise, if you engage in, because to do pranayama is necessary, prana should move inside the body. Otherwise, it will happen is that, like you will be stuck, like a lorry in the traffic jam, you will be stuck somewhere. So, sometimes you can see people will eat so much that all kinds of food, and three times, four times, sometimes it goes on like that. So, that's why modern days, sannyasis are more problem because of this. Well, they'll go everywhere, people invite them, come to my house, we'll offer you nice prasadam. And sannyasi says, so I have to bless them, because that's the tradition. You go to every house and start eating. Suppose, imagine, you get invited three or four houses in the same day, or 1 or 2 days' time, and you will have a regular feast, isn't it? When sannyasi comes, you say, oh, sannyasi has come, we have to give him nice prasadam. Actually, we are trying to kill him with giving him all sorts of sweets and savories, everything, sabjis and rice and chapatis, puris, halwa, anything you think about, all the whole list you make at home to please him, to please the sannyasi. Sannyasi comes and he says, that is why sannyasis in the modern world, sannyasam stage, there is not much of a sadhana involved. Sadhana state is gone. So for them, most of them, they can perform pranayamam only when they are in the sadhana stage. In the sannyasam stage, it becomes difficult. So, so for them, that when they come out and start engaging in the world, with the world, everything becomes difficult. Because you can see this, often you will notice this, if you have to observe carefully, how sannyasis find it difficult in this world, especially when they are traveling and visiting people. And they think preaching is something that they have to do through the programs. And in that process, what happens is that they are forced to eat a lot of things which they shouldn't be eating, and they are naturally get sick in course of time, one way or the other. Pranayama, everything goes away. So, actually, it's a punishment for them, this feast business, for the sannyasis. Because there is a feast like this every day, where is the pranayama? Where can be any pranayama? So, pranan has to flow from the abdomen, from the bottom part of the stomach. It has to flow. A flow has to happen, but pranan won't flow. It cannot flow anymore. So it's a full traffic jam there, because all the food that has gone in is blocks everything there. So, jidanilaha. He says here, samyad almendriyanilaha. Krishna is saying this. I'm not saying this. Krishna is saying this. Sachacharamahimedam samyadalpendriya anila. Samyadalpendriya anila. That is prana. Samyam pranasamyama, pranayama, in other words, we, has happened to our bhikshu. Because he was eating very frugal. Whatever somebody gives him food, only he will eat then. Then nobody was giving him food. So imagine that. Because of the vairagyam inside, Krishna has helped him that way, that because of the hunger and the non-availability of all the food, what he had eaten before, he was living so frugal, that pranam started freely moving inside. From the abdomen, it started moving back and forth. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Atmendriya anilaha. Anila means that air, the pranam. Atmendriya anila. All pranam moves to all the senses and the body all over. It moves very freely when that happens. So, often Krishna gives us trouble for our benefit in this way. So, here, when he has become a bhikshu like this, he got pranayama back. He didn't have pranayama before because he used to eat well, he had plenty of money, and all these things has not helped him very much. Physically, he couldn't control his mind. Because when you eat like that, it's difficult to control the mind. And not only that, it has its own strong impact on the mind. Strong thought waves comes due to that. And strong attractions to sense enjoyment, strong attractions to the world, all these things is due to excessive consumption of food. So if the mind is peaceful, then in that case, pranam will be very rhythmic. The flow will be very rhythmic. So it will go right up to the bottom of the stomach and pranam. And when the mind becomes, you can see the influence connection between the pranam and the mind. If the mind is peaceful, that flow of the pranam will be very relaxed and it will flow freely. If the mind becomes very distressed, very disturbed, then you will see the pranam stops. The flow of pranam stops. So here what happened, when the bhikshu became very shanti came to him, mind has become very peaceful because no more responsibility in this world. Krishna has given me all the strength needed for the vairagyam necessary to not even care for the body. Because of our fear for the body, we are always in anxiety, is it not? That's gone away from him, and therefore pranam, he has got a control over the pranam. Pranam became very energetic. We are thinking that if I eat some nutritious food, very nutritious food, only then I will get a lot of energy to do the work. That's our understanding, isn't it? You can see 5 vegetables a day, they are saying. 5 a day. I tried 5 a day, nothing has happened. So it's all bogus. All this is bogus. It's not. That's not how it works. So, we are thinking that if we have all that, energy will come from that. But many people, they have eaten this nutritious food, but what we see from that is that their body is not becoming energetic, and they are not, what they are expecting from that, it has not happened. Instead, it is by fasting that they had the better awareness, alertness, and energy, and the free flow of the pranam inside. So, what Bhikshu is teaching us this, if you have hunger, even if you have some rice with some yogurt or something like that, you will still remain healthy. There are many, many people who live like that. They don't go every day looking for a feast everywhere. That's our disease, isn't it? Where is the feast? Where is the feast? We say, the feast is not good, we curse everybody. What kind of feast is this, we say? So, that's not spiritual, very much spiritual. We have to look at these personalities who live that life, in spiritual life, in this way. And they're saying to us, and we will see in the name of nutrition and in the name of feast, we'll go and buy all sorts of things, cook all these different things and make a big thing out of it. And after eating all that, the stomach is like a bakery. It's like a bakery going on inside. And it is inside, all the items are there. All the items. Some people, it's very difficult to convince them these things. Even if you tell them, they won't understand. they think, oh, no, 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 it's for Krishna I'm making all these things. And so Krishna is starving them because you didn't feed him properly. So, and in the name of all these feasts and all other kinds of things, what we are making, looking for an opportunity to celebrate, to eat well. And you make all these big, big feasts and start eating all that. What will if you push everything into the stomach, what will happen? Disease will come. And that is why the Vivekananda called our religion as kitchen religion. You remember? That he called this kitchen religion. Kitchen religion means that, in fact, Vedic religion is kitchen religion. There's nothing wrong in what he's saying that. But without kitchen, there is no Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy is very closely connected with kitchen. But because the religion actually begins from kitchen. That we accept that. There's no problem with that. What it is if kitchen religion becomes simply sense gratification, that's not good. But if you have to realize this, that the food that creates sattugunam, that is what Krishna has spoken about, isn't it? In the 18th chapter. Any food that creates sattugunam inside, that should be prepared, cooked and eaten, offered and eaten that. But you remember I mentioned before also, in the olden days, there was no temple room in the houses. This is a new thing. It's become a fashion now. If you're building a new house, you should have a temple room as well. So when guests come, so that's our temple room. That means only in the temple room I'll follow the rules. Outside there is a bar. Inside there is a temple room, outside there is a bar also. There's a lot of houses like that in the modern world. And they will act as though they are very spiritual with their temple rooms. But in the ancient times, that there was no temple room as such. Kitchen was the center of everything. And all offering, everything was inside the kitchen. Inside the kitchen. And here you are cooking, there the offering also will be going on. Worship together. Food is the... So, these things will happen same time. Cooking, offering, everything. So, after it was cooked, there will be some flowers will be offered along with that. But important thing is what's being cooked. What's being cooked. And that's most important. So, in the Vedam, when they ask this question, what other upasana is being performed, he says that, upasana, he says here, that annam, food, pranam, the life air, chakshusa, the eye, shrotram, the ear, and vajam idihi, all this is upasana is necessary. Upasana, that means that when you are cooking the food, if that food is prepared in the proper way as an offering to Krishna, and it's not that how opulent that food is, that's not what it matters. What matters is the simplest way it is cooked, and that food that will increase our sattugunam in us, that and the food cooked with the perfect consciousness, good consciousness while chanting the holy name, and offered to Krishna and consumed in that way, that will not only purify the mind, it will purify all the senses as well. So, so that is why they say that while cooking, you are actually purifying not only the mind, you are purifying your eyes, ears, nose, everything. All the senses gets purified. So they also say that you have to make your own decision what you want to hear in this world. You have to know what to filter out from hearing. You also have to know what to see with the eye and what you want to filter out. Similarly, what you smell, what you taste, everything, you have to keep filtering things, what you don't want, because that does not help. So if it is done like that, it will help for the pranam to keep in the proper rhythmic state. So they, Vedam followers, they are telling us, these are the decisions we have to make in life. which what to eat and what not to eat, what to see and what not to see, what to hear and what not to hear. Not that who should win the election, who should lose the election. That is, Vedam has never spoken about it. If these things are done properly, this is more important than anything else. And make that decision what to eat and how, when to sleep, how to sleep, all this. They gave so much importance to it as far as eating and sleeping is concerned. All done in such a way to bring the body in a rhythmic state. They say while sleeping you should not have any contact with the material matters, so because that creates dream inside. So withdraw yourself from the a dream state by absorbing in spiritual consciousness to go into sleep. Similarly, when you wake up in the morning, Pradasmarana Stotram is for that. When you wake up from the morning, in conjunction with the Atma, one has to wake up. Not wake up into the world straight away. World is not our domain. Our domain is Atma. So therefore, while waking up into the world, wake up into Atma. While going to sleep in this world, go to sleep into Atma, not into the world. Whereas, if I conducted a lot of vyavaharam throughout the day, I put my mind into everything in this world, when I go to sleep in the night, what will happen? They will all come one after the other. Is it not? That will create a lot of dreams as well. A lot of dreams in the night. The dreams happens because Maharshi said this to one of the disciples when he asked him that how can I minimize my dream state. He said if in the waking state, if you are not creating dreams, then it will not come in the dream state, he said. Because in the waking state we are too busy with so many unwanted things. They all appear in the dream state. I don't know, if you look yourself, you will see in your own life, at different times in your life, you may have created different vasanas in life, isn't it? By engaging in different karma. Have you noticed that things what you have done 20, 30 years ago, it can come back into your dream today. It comes back. It comes back. Suppose you have worked in 10 different companies with 10 different people. They will all appear in your dream today. You may have retired, but it doesn't leave you. It comes back, haunts you here. They were giving you trouble there. The connection has broken then, since 20 years. But even now, they will be with you inside. And that shows the power of that mind. And that vasanas that is created, they will come back in the form of dreams in the night. So instead of giving, Vedam says, these are more important. How you can see how subtle level they are thinking. Instead of doing all these things, we are thinking how to go to the Mars, how to go to the Moon, how to go to the Saturn. This is our priority. Not the, so gross we have become. The Stulata. Stulatvam it is called. Sushmatvam or subtleness is always to think very much in the locally. That in my existence, what does it matter? What is important today? How I sleep, how I eat, how I deal with the world. It's centered around me, not centered around going to the moon or getting a name in this world or fame in this world. So actually we are fools because we are doing these things, isn't it? And people who are very learned, they have become more and more foolish in this way. More and more they are educated, they have become more and more foolish. what they say, that you are more and more estranged from the original intelligence. Original intelligence of the rishis have taught them to be like this. To give focus on the eating, focus on sleeping, focus on the dreaming, everything. They gave importance to that, the rishis. That's original intelligence. But now we have so estranged from that. Can you imagine the businessmen who are so busy with their business day and night, when they can't get sleep because of the thought waves inside, they have to take alcohol, sleeping pills. Why? Why they don't get sleep? Because of the thought waves coming. Won't let them sleep. So they have to take... Can you imagine that life? How totally opposite to the principles what the rishis have given us. How do you expect them to come to spiritual life? Whole day, they think that it is something very commendable If you are busy like that, to show to the world how busy I am, running here, running there, doing millions of things, and making a lot of money everywhere, in that process, he has no sleep, he has no proper... He may be going to the best restaurant to eat, and paying the very high prices for the bills he pays, for entertaining people, living lavishly. He thinks this is all life. Whereas rishis are telling us, you all got it wrong, completely wrong. Think about your own eating habits and how much control you have over it. Think about your sleeping habits and in what consciousness you are living in this world. They gave importance to that, not to what you have done in this world otherwise. So Bhikshu is saying like this, when he has given up everything and the stomach has become empty, stomach has become empty, there's nobody giving him any food. He's saying here, if I get anything, food is fine, but if I don't get anything, I don't care anymore because I got my control of the pranan. Bhikshu is saying like that. Control of the pranan, mind has become peaceful. Shando Bhikshu Abhuin Munihi, he said, Krishna is saying about him. So from that, what do we understand? That means this is what Krishna expects one in the spiritual life. Shanto Bhikshu Bhuvin Munihi. Otherwise, there was no reason for Krishna to say all these things in the Bhagavatam. Shanto Bhikshu Bhuvin Munihi. He said he became a Bhikshu and he became a Muni. Muni means he got a control on his mind. So, only when you become a Muni, you can do Mananam. Mananam. Proper Mananam is possible only when there is... We are a Muni. Muni means control over the pranan has come, control over the eating has happened, sleeping has happened. Only in that state, that mananam will be in Sattvagunam. When there is, mananam we are saying, mananam is not that easy. People ask, they are thinking mananam means I have to sit down and use my intelligence and brain and everything, and that is not mananam. Mananam is not done with intelligence. It is controlling or bringing that discipline into the eating, sleeping habits and bringing Sattvagunam inside, and in Sattvagunam whatever thoughts that's coming up from that, from what, from the Shravanam, that is Mananam. So if the stomach is full, then Mananam won't happen. After eating a big feast, what Mananam can be there? What we need is a bed, isn't it? There won't be any Mananam after that. All you need is a good bed to sleep. So, therefore, all the tattvam what you are hearing from the Bhagavatam, from the Bhikshu, from Jadabharata, and from the Ambarish, and many other people, Uttarasura and all others, you have to remain, in order to engage in that vijaram, or mananam, in a shanti state, you have to become a Bhikshu first. Bhikshu is necessary. So, Brahmavidya is something... Upanishadartham rasam vibandaha. The message of the Upanishads and the message from that, it has to be drunk. Upanishadartha rasam. That means when you are studying Upanishads and the knowledge of the Upanishads, it becomes a juice. And that juice has to be extracted and to be drunk. And it is only by drinking that juice, Bhikshu has broken that Hridaya Granthi. What he was talking about. And that means, Hriday Granthi broken means, ignorance has gone away, Ajnanam has gone away, and he started moving in this world very freely. Who? Bhikshu. Bhikshu started moving in this world very freely. You will see that. That's that verse he's saying. Sachachara mahi medam samyadayal mendriya nilaha bhikshartham nagaragraman asango alakshido vishad. One verse, Krishna has spoken about that person, about Bhikshu. He's saying, Sachachara mahimedam samyadalpendriya nilaham bhikshartham nagaragraman asango alakshido vishal. Asangam, no attachment anywhere. Alakshidam, no goal, no direction where he is going. And he wants moving around like a leaf in the wind. He is going in this world. It has no... Wherever the wind takes it, the leaf goes in that way, isn't it? Similarly, he says that because pranana has come under control, Mind is not demanding anything, no dreaming at all. That body is like a leaf is floating in this air, floating in the air. That is that state of a bhikshu state, and he is a muni, thoughtful person, he says there. So he went to the towns and villages everywhere, and when he goes there for bhiksha, for food, when he goes there, when people saw him, they are saying, what did they say about him? Oh, this is our old businessman, isn't it? Who sucked everybody, all the money from there, and they won't even talk to him. And that was his good fortune, I say. That no pride anymore. And that means no one was giving any care for him. Nobody was taking notice of him. And no sangam anywhere. And he was not even bothered if anybody was looking at him. He did not care. Like you can see in our society, when we walk, we are very conscious. Is anybody looking at us? Am I dressed properly? And we have to please the society, is it not? We try to act in a way that society is pleased. But in Bhikshu's case, he doesn't have to please anybody. Freedom, that freedom what he has got, that's what he's saying there. He doesn't have to please anybody, he's not bothered anybody. That's why Krishna uses that word, alakshitaha. Alakshitaha means no lakshyam. He doesn't have to please anyone, so there is no goal at all, which direction to go. So, so he says here, particularly, nobody was giving any attention to that, and like a beggar, he was moving around. It was, while walking like that, some old associates saw him. And they started saying, oh, is this not our old zamindar, who used to have a lot of money and wealth? And some people gave it. And they were criticizing him. They started talking. Now they can talk freely about him, is it not? Some of them were saying, oh, we went for donation there for other day for some festival or something, and he didn't give us anything, did he? So they were talking about him in a very rebuking way. And they were saying that, how has he changed so much? What has happened to him? And one thing you have to remember here, we see one person at one particular time. And we will register his nature inside our mind about that person, how he has acted. Then, after 6 months or a year, he would have changed. But the impression he has put inside us will remain the same. And when we deal with him, we will deal with him with that impression what you carried about him before. Have you noticed that? It happens to everybody. Suppose somebody has, you first met someone, and he has acted in a particular way. And he would have created an impression in you at that time. That person, in his prarabdham, he has changed because he had suffered in life and changes have happened to him. But when we meet him, the impression that he has put us inside before will be there still, and we will react in that way. It is possible that person who was very proud and egoistic, he may have changed. His ahankara may have gone. He may have started going to satsangam, have become more thoughtful and become a lot more relaxed about life. And it is also possible he may have developed vairagyam inside and bhakti also. Or he may have read books and become more and more knowledgeable about it. Things might have changed and we don't know anything about it, what has happened in his life. And that is, we are still thinking, when we are contacting him, we are contacting that old person whom we knew. Is it not? That happens. We are contacting the old person we knew. So, and with that mood, we deal with him at that time. So, when this happened with this bhikshu also, the same thing happened. Bhikshu has changed, and they were not aware of that, those people. They were thinking that he is still the same person whom they knew before, when he was very miser, and when he didn't want to do anything to anybody and give anything to anyone. So what they were saying? They were saying, this is our old party. He is dressed up in another way, coming now again to make money in a different way. They started talking like this about him. So they're saying that he has taken to this dress only to make money. They started abusing him like this in that way. So this is important thing, that how people can change in life due to circumstances. And sometimes you will see this, due to prarabdham, we are forced to act in a particular way in some situation. But later on, when the prarabdham goes away, that mind also changes. It changes our nature. Due to satsangam, or due to association with shastram, or due to various reasons, a person would have changed. So to judge somebody like that. So some of them, they made some remarks about him, in the, based on the old experiences. Bhikshu thought like this, let me live here for some time, in the middle of all these things. I have done a lot of bad things in my life, and I have to finish it up here, and that prarabdham, I have to go through it and finish it here. I should not go to a place where I am respected, whereas I should live with those people who will criticize me and who will give me hell. Remember, earlier I mentioned this, that if you get continuously criticized and all the time given hard times by others, tapasya will increase. Asammana tapovriddhihi. Your tapasya will get better if you get treated harshly and rudely. Sammana tapokshayaha. Whereas if you go everywhere and where you are honored and respected, your tapasya will go. You will lose all your tapasya. Tapasya, the strength of tapasya come from outside. Asammana tapovriddhihi. Sammana tapokshayaha. He knew this. Bhikshu knew this. So what did Bhikshu do? Bhikshu decided that let me live here. Because if I live here, what will happen? They will constantly give me a hard time. Always criticizes me and abuse me and treat me rudely, because that I will become stronger inside. And that's what Krishna told Uddhava also. Isn't it? In the beginning. Nishtido mutridova. Even if people pass urine on you, spit at you, still, Uddhava, you have to learn to tolerate. So, Bhikshu realized it. This is an opportunity to become that strength, to get that strength. By getting insulted, by getting ill-treated, and criticized and offended. So, he took advantage of that. That's the greatness of the Bhikshu. So, therefore, wherever we are respected, we shouldn't go there. We should go to places where we are insulted. And as much as possible, accept all the insult, what's been given. And if they abuse you or criticize you, insult you, accept all that. And he lived there and in that way started accepting bhiksha there, among those people. That we'll stop today there. Tomorrow we'll continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.